Some trombone action for your national anthem this evening from Monongahela County Ballpark, and we're about ready for baseball. Michael Seitz and Manny Maradiaga have the call. That's me and you, Manny. Taking the hill is Patrick Miner. Miner, 6'1", 215 pounds out of White House, Texas, and Arkansas Tech University. The right-hander this year has 7-4 and a 4.91 at Arkansas Tech. He's 1-2 with a 6.49 here in the MLB Draft League. What do you expect quickly from Miner tonight, Manny?
I think he's just going to go get out of the gates firing on all cylinders, really. I think he'll just continue his performance from last night, and that confidence from last game, I think it'll only hype him up and the entire team as well to continue that going forward into tonight.
So the lineup for the Mahoning Valley Scrappers: Dominic Bucco, Will Prater, Jeffrey Weller, Gabe Gonzalez, Alex Crump, Oscar Ponce, Adam Fogle, Tyler Acosta, and I'm going to try this again, Manny.
Here we go.
Abimael Gonzalez Acosta. That's going to trip me up a couple times tonight. It just takes me a second there. It's a long name.
It's a mouthful.
It is.
It's definitely a mouthful.
It is. So those will be the nine facing Patrick Miner. Bucco, Prater, Weller will start. The defense behind Patrick Miner for your Black Bears. From left to right in the outfield, Adon Fernandez, Turner Hill, and Ruben Fontes. In the infield from third to first, Anthony Stellan, Tyler Bassetti, Javante Doris, and Logan Mathieu. And Alex Aruz does the catching of Patrick Miner. Aruz, of course, on loan for this series from the Mahoning Valley Scrappers. J.C. Santini still out of the lineup for an undisclosed reasons. So it'll be Aruz behind the plate. He'll throw down a strong throw to second base as warm-ups conclude here in Morgantown, West Virginia. Beautiful Monongahela County Ballpark. You got the mountains in the background. Morgantown to the left. You can see campus from here.
Absolutely. You can see everything up here from the mountaintops, and we're ready to go, it seems.
So Dominic Bucco will step in to lead us off, the 6'205" center fielder out of Youngstown State University. Patrick Miner gets his sign, winds up, and delivers outside ball one. We are underway. Bucco last night was 1-for-3. He scored the lone scrapper run in the 9-1 defeat. Black Bears taking care of business quite easily last night, as the 1-0 pitch is in there for a strike. One ball and one strike.
Tried to nip that corner in the first pitch, missed, and came right back at it and got the call there from Peel.
So Bucco standing in the left-handed batter's box. Miner winds up and delivers the 1-1 pitch. He lifts it to left. Fernandez has a beat on it and makes the grab for an easy out number one.
I like that he's going after the outside part of the plate there. Does it again, gets the nip off the top of the bat and easily into the glove of Fernandez for the first out.
So that'll bring up Will Prater. We saw him last night as well. He played shortstop. He went 0-for-4. Only four Mahoning hits were spread out amongst the nine batters. Nobody with more than one. So Prater was 0-for-4. He bounced into a couple double plays last night as well. Out of Western Carolina University, that one's outside ball one to Prater. Prater standing at 6'2", 180 pounds out of Dallas, Georgia. The 1-0 pitch from Pat Miner is in there for a strike, so it's a mirror of the first batter. Ball one and then a strike.
Yeah, and again, two back-to-back pitches, this time going on the inside part of the plate. Again, missed the first one and got the second one.
Ball and a strike to Prater. The pitch by Miner is down low, 2-1, hitter's count.
Very patient approach so far from Prater. Not going to swing at that one. That just dropped late there below his knees.
Miner comes set, takes a deep breath, gets his sign, and the windup, 2-1, is roped high and deep to right field, but that's going to slice foul up into the standing room only section, and a couple of fans stop it over there. Someone will go home happy, 2-2.
Yeah, definitely had home run distance. I think it would have nipped over the wall there, but way too early there from Prater as he hooked that one to the right side of the stadium.
Definitely hit it hard, that's for sure. Two balls, two strikes. That saws him off and goes, oh, right off the window to our left. This is our last, my last chance to get one, Manny.
That is true.
This is my last chance, my last game this year before I have to head back up to school. I've been waiting for a foul ball for 3 months. Two balls and two strikes. Miner coming set to deliver. Gets his sign. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. It is laced past Javonte Doris into right field, a base hit. So it's a one-out single for Will Prater.
That time a lot more on top of that pitcher. Waited on it for it to come and just on the outside part of the plate there, but he turns those hips well and smacks it right up the middle. No chance for Doris there.
Absolutely. So that'll bring in Jeffrey Weller out of St. Mary's, Pennsylvania. Pitt Panther this year. We talked about that at length
yesterday.
Of course, the Panthers are going to play the Mountaineers in the Backyard Brawls at, on September 1st. I believe it's a Thursday night. As the first pitch to Weller is fouled off to the right side, 0-1. Of course, Pitt's going to beat down the Mountaineers.
I'm not so sure about that. Definitely a lot closer for that game. 17th ranked Pitt. Absolutely.
You can't believe
ridiculous.
It. You can't believe
ridiculous.
It. No balls and a strike here on the former Panther, Weller. Here it comes. Fouled off to the screen. 0-2. Weller was responsible for the only RBI last night when he put one into the left center field gap. It was misplayed out there by the left fielder at the time. I believe it was Fernandez. I believe. But Weller missed second base and was rolled out, so he got credit for an RBI single, and he ran out on the bases. As they're going to check on Prater. He's back easily. No balls and two strikes here on the shortstop, the number three hitter, Jeffrey Weller.
Definitely one of their most vital players here, especially batting third tonight and with already a runner on base.
That one is lifted to center field. We got a breeze now, but that's not going to affect it. Hill will make the grab, two away.
Again, really no doubt about fielding there, especially with Turner Hill out there. Tracks it well and not hit with much power, so it made it a lot easier for Hill to record the second out here.
Gabe Gonzalez will step in now at a Cal State U Northridge. He hit 250 there with 11 homers and 39 RBIs.
Interesting walk-up song.
I think they're just playing this.
Is it
to mess with them.
Okay, I was going to say.
Usually the road team doesn't get walk-up songs, so. Out of Mission Hills, California is Gonzalez. The first pitch to him, runner going. It's a high pitch. Aruza's throw to second is going to skip into center field, so it was a stolen base for Will Prater. He puts himself in scoring position with two away.
He got the pop-up there very well. The timing was nice, but the throw was just in the third, very hard for Bassetti, if I'm not mistaken, to make that one.
It was, I believe, Doris covering. Okay. But a good throw gets him as the wind is whipping out there now. I'm looking at the flags right now. It is blowing in hard from right center field, all of the sudden out of nowhere. Because we mentioned there was no wind earlier. Those flags are like ready to fly off the pole. As the 1-0 pitch is up high, two balls and a strike. If Gonzalez were to reach, it would be Alex Crump. Runner on second and two outs here in the first inning. The wind is wreaking havoc around the ballpark. Stuff flying everywhere. I had a door slam in one of the suites around us. Or that could just be a ghost.
Wouldn't surprise me here.
As the 2-0 pitch is down low, three balls and no strikes. Yeah, whoo. Those flags, the American flag up there is just flying.
Yeah, it has not stopped moving since, like, just two pitches ago. Just started happening right now.
And it's coming in hard from right center, right field. So, be interesting to see if there's a high fly ball if it, or a high pop-up if the wind plays a factor, which it's like a Wrigley Field wind right now. Three balls and no strikes. The pitch is in there. Taking all the way was Gonzalez, 3-1.
Absolutely vital for Miner to get that one. Didn't want to walk somebody. And it's always been a little bit of a struggle here recently, putting away that last one and not giving up anything. So if he can put him away, it'll be very, very big for the Black Bears.
As Three balls and a strike to the man out of Mission Hills, California. Miner coming set, and time is called. So Patrick Miner this season at Arkansas Tech, he was a two-way player there. He played the infield before. He focused more on pitching the last couple of years as well, but he's been a two-way player before. It's interesting little tidbit about the Black Bears starter tonight. 3-1 pitch is also in there for a strike. Our monitor is moving
it's
up here.
Up here. Everything's
it feels nice, though.
It definitely feels nice. I'm enjoying it.
So it was 3-0. He's working his way back now, or has worked his way back to full. Three balls and two strikes. We'll see if the runner on second, Prater, decides to move. We know he's got some speed. Miner looks in. Taking his time. Now coming set at the belt. No score in the first. Runner on second. Two outs. The payoff pitch. He struck him out. Looking a beautiful pitch at the knees. Ends the top of the first. We'll head to the bottom. No score. Back here at Monongalia County Ballpark, it's mystery at the mall tonight. Pepperoni and cheese patty, one of the pepperoni rolls has mysteriously gone missing, Manny. I don't know who did it or what they did. Doesn't look too good.
No, and they were just playing ping pong there. And then the light just went out and she was gone. I'm assuming she won't be in the race now. A lot easier for those two to get a win, kind of hindering her place in the standings.
A little bit suspicious of Dave and Hank there, as tonight's pitcher is Jan Figueroa. Figueroa standing at 6'3", 215 out of Florida International University. He calls Puerto Rico home. This year at Missouri Baptist, he had a 3.01 ERA. He's got a 7.74 ERA here for Mahoning Valley. Hill, Fontes, Hernandez, Matthew, Fernandez, Doris, Stellan, Aruz, and Bassetti. For West Virginia, it'll be the 450 hitting Turner Hill to lead us off here. He had his customary 2-for-4 last night. It's just come so common to the man out of Marietta College in Marietta, Ohio. As the first pitch to Hill is in there for a strike, 0-1. The defense behind Figueroa from left to right, Tyler Acosta, Don Bucco, and then Abimiel Gonzalez Acosta, and so two Acostas in the corners, as that one is down low, 1-1. Around the infield, third to first, Ponce, Weller, Prater, and Gonzalez, and Alex Crump catches Jan Figueroa. The 1-1 pitch to Hill is up high, 2-1.
Went back to that first pitch, got called a strike, but Peel did not like that one. It was a bit too high there, goes to 2-1.
Hill hit 443 at Marietta, as this one is in there. Strike two, 2-2. So he's he's not in rare air here. This is pretty normal for him to be up near 450, which is insane. As Figueroa gets his sign, two balls and two strikes, winds up and delivers. Hill with a defensive swing lines it into the camera. Well, we'll do it again. That's just a professional hitter right there. Adjusted mid pitch to foul it off.
Yeah, absolutely, and again, Figueroa's got to be careful because his last outing wasn't his best, obviously, so hitting or pitching to Turner Hill, got to be very careful to not let him on base to start off.
A 2-2 to Hill. That one's chopped up the middle. Hill's got great speed. He's got a chance to beat it. Weller on to first. Oh, he's rolled out at first base. I disagree. And he doesn't like it either as we get a look at the replay.
Very close. Great by Weller to field it on the one-up and fire it over there. And I think he was saved by a good distance.
Oh,
there.
I think
he was way over it before.
He was saved by a step.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
First mark against Mark Mayo over there at first.
I was talking to some of the players yesterday post-game, and they were just raving about how Hill, just anything he hits, he has a chance to get on. It could be a stinger to a gap, or it could be a little chopper like that, or that is a semi-routine play, and he can beat out, and he did there, but he did not get the call. So that'll bring in Ruben Fontes, who gives it a ride to right, and see you later. Ruben Fontes ambushes Jan Figueroa into the Black Bear bullpen. And the Bears lead it 1-0.
Just like that, the Bears get their first lead of the game. First hit of the game is a home run. It really a note that the location was more than what you look for if you're Ruben Fontes. Right down the middle, turned on it beautifully, and was out of here in a hurry. Very quickly escaped this ballpark.
So very impressive stuff there as Fontes turns right on it. Wasn't really expecting that first pitch, but they'll take the pop out of the two hole. Of course, Maddox Houghton getting the day off. It's his normal spot. So Fontes moving up in the lineup and delivering. That'll bring up big Ryan Hernandez. The first pitch to him is a healthy cut and a miss, strike one. He definitely gets his money's worth up there.
Yeah, that's back-to-back. Jan Figueroa definitely not afraid of throwing that fastball there in that location.
Got to be careful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As the 0-1 to Hernandez is down low and away for a ball. That was the slider, so 1-1. Fontes ambushing that for a solo home run. That is his third of the season. As the pitch to Hernandez, it's a hack and a miss on another slider that was well outside the zone. 1-2. He'll regroup, of course. We have not seen bad swings or bad calls face Hernandez at all.
Absolutely not. That one was a bit better location from Figueroa. A little fooled Hernandez a little bit there.
The 1-2 pitch to the number 3 hitter is swung on and missed. He got him on the slider once again, almost identical to the second one. Two gone.
Yeah, I mean, if Figueroa can throw him like that, those are almost impossible to hit there. Fooled him on back-to-back pitches. That one was even better than the second one. Hernandez goes down shaking his head.
So that'll bring in Logan Mathieu. He was 4-for-4 with a walk, a couple of doubles, a couple of RBIs, a couple of runs. What didn't he do yesterday? And he DH'd, so he didn't have to need to play the field either. So the first pitch to the man from Bellefonte, Pennsylvania is fouled off to the left side. Strike one. 1-0 here. West Virginia leads it on the Ruben Fontes ambush first pitch home run. That thing was a line drive into the bullpen. Got out of here in a hurry. As Logan Mathieu standing in out of Liberty University. The pitch is down low. A good block there by Crump. It doesn't really matter, but still a good block. Mathieu led the A's Sun in home runs with 15 at Liberty this year. Has found the average, batting average here at West Virginia, hitting .333 right now. He only hit .197 at Liberty, so he's fixed something. He's figured something out. It's always a good sign. As the 1-1 pitch is up high, 2-1, he's turned himself into one of the most dangerous hitters in the league, let alone on this Black Bears team.
Yeah, and what a gift he's been for this Black Bears team, who lost a lot of key guys at the All-Star break, as you'd expect, but he's just been an absolute superstar here.
The 2-1, it's a poor-looking swing there, 2-2. So we've seen a couple poor-looking swings from Hernandez and Mathieu as Jan Figueroa has maybe found it after the solo shot.
I think definitely discovered that slider's been working wonders for him thus far.
Two balls, two strikes to Mathieu. The pitch, he slices it the other way, peeling towards the corner and foul. Acosta gave it a look, but was unable to get there, so we'll do the 2-2 pitch again.
Good contact, good everything there, but might have been a little bit late there, causing it to just barely slice foul there over by the 325 sign.
So Mathieu will have new life. 2-2, two outs. Bears lead at 1-0. The Black Bears do. Fontes' solo shot. Here comes Figueroa's 2-2 pitch. It is down low and away. The count runs full. Figueroa standing in, getting a sign. The left-handed Logan Mathieu awaiting the pitch. 3 balls and 2 strikes. He gets his pitch, winds up, and delivers. Mathieu on a rope to second. It's knocked down by Prater. He recovers in time to throw at Mathieu, who stung that ball. We will head to the top of the second inning. And the Bears lead it 1-0 on the West Virginia Black Bear Radio Network. Back here at Mon County Ballpark for the top of the second inning. The Bears lead it 1-0 on a Ruben Fontes solo shot. Patrick Miner is back out. It'll be Crump, Ponce, and Fogle for the Scrappers. Alex Crump, the catcher out of Murray State, where he hit .272 this season. Very decorated high school athlete as well in baseball, as the first pitch to him is rolled to the left side over the Scrappers dugout and foul.
Hitting .244 thus far in this season, 11 hits to his name, and getting his first appearance here after not playing last night.
Three-time all-conference team, two-time all-district team, one-time all-region team at Northview High School, as that 0-1 is downstairs. Evening the count at 1-1. Of course, the catcher Crump out of Northview, Michigan. So Northview High School in Michigan. As that 1-1 pitch is a fouled off, 1-2.
Looking good so far on the locations for Miner on these pitches. Hasn't faulted one like Figueroa has to allow that home run, obviously. But he seems to be in good control there. Seems comfortable out there on the mound.
So the 1-2 pitch to Crump is down low once again, and the count evens for a second time this at-bat, now 2-2.
Similarly to Gonzalez last night, Crump very close there to the home plate, crowding it a little bit, as did Gabe Gonzalez previously in the last inning.
2 balls and 2 strikes now. Miner coming set, winds up and delivers. Line to left field, but foul onto the berm. Second time we've seen a hard hit ball, but the Scrapper batter be way out in front. So we'll do the 2-2 pitch again. Mentioned the disparity in batting average between these two teams. Only two players over .289 or better on the Scrappers. 7 guys in last night's lineup were hitting better than .298. Or excuse me, 6. There were 7 better than .273. As that 2-2 pitch is down low, so the count runs full, 3-2.
Again, it has the only knock so far against Miner, and we're early, very early in this game. It's just he hasn't found that breaking ball there to really break the way he wants. That's the third or fourth one by my count that's been in the dirt, bounced into the glove.
Three balls, two strikes here on the first batter of the inning. Alex Crump, the pitch is swung on and missed. He struck him out. So two straight Ks and one out here in the second inning.
Of course, as soon as I said, he absolutely drops an absolute dime there on Alex Crump. No chance there. Perfect timing on that one to drop and made Crump really look silly there as he dropped to one knee on that one.
So that'll bring in Oscar Ponce. We saw him last night go 0 for 3 with a strikeout. Miner's first pitch is in there. Strike one. Ponce out of the University of Texas Arlington, or UT Arlington for short. As Miner winds up and delivers the 0-1 pitch, it's popped way up in the air to shallow right field. Doris is under it, still tracking back, fighting the wind, and makes the grab. So two outs here in the second for Patrick Miner.
I thought it would be Fontes calling him off just because he was running onto it, but Doris does a good job of tracking it, and quick two outs here for Miner, as we expected him to in the pregame show.
So that'll bring up Adam Fogle. Fogle out of the University of Kentucky in Palos Verdes Estates in California. As the first pitch to him is sliced to the right side and foul. So Manny, Palos Verdes, help.
Here we go. Where is it?
Palos Verdes.
Palos Verdes. Well, Verdes.
Green. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
As the 0-1 pitch from Miner is down low, 1-1. So something Green Estates or Green something Estates? What is Palos?
Palos, usually in most Spanish-speaking countries, means sticks.
So green sticks, like so green tree?
Yeah.
Green tree Estates.
Another way to say it.
1-1. Swung on a missed strike, too. You know, the community that I'm from is called Green Tree.
Interesting.
Not Estates. And it's in English. So, out of Palos Verdes Estates. It helps when the Kellerman can speak different languages up here and help me out with the Spanish pronunciations. As that one is fouled off, it'll remain 1-2. One of the many reasons we all love Manny here.
No, looking down at Fogle, you can't miss him, can you? 6'5", there, standing in the box.
6'5", 215. I mean, 215's a lot, but he is pretty skinny.
Yeah.
At 6'5". As that one is chopped back up the middle, Bassetti makes a nice play. He'll throw on to first, so it's a 1-2-3 inning for Patrick Miner and the Black Bears. We will head to the bottom of the second. 1-0 West Virginia. Back here for the bottom of the second inning here in Morgantown, West Virginia. It'll be Adon Fernandez, Javante Doris, and Anthony Stellan. Fernandez stepping in. Last night he went 0 for 3 with a walk and a run. He also had an RBI on a sac fly. As the first pitch to him is in there for a strike, according to home plate umpire Jeff Peel. Mark Mayles at first, and Cam Haney is over at third to round out your umpiring crew this evening. Figueroa's 0-1 pitch is chopped to the left side. Ponce had to wait for it, but it'll be no problem. Score it 5-3 for the first out.
Yeah, a little bit of a tricky one there for Ponce, who, like you mentioned, had to wait on it, but was never really in trouble of missing that one on the strong throw there to Gonzalez for the first out.
So Javonte Doris will step in out of Southern University. He hit 306 there. He's hitting 261 here. He had a clutch hit on Thursday night as that one is in there for a strike. He must have gotten the corner. Doris has to regroup. He'll step back in 0-1 on the man from Raymond, Mississippi. The 0-1 offering is outside, 2 balls and a strike. As they're going to try to appeal to first base, but the first base umpire, Mark Mayle, is chatting it up with whoever's coaching first over there, so they never did get that appeal in, so it's 1-1. I don't think he went anyway.
No, absolutely, but Jed Jerko's dad knows what he's doing over there for sure.
As that one's outside for a ball, 2-1. Not sure who the coach is over there at the moment. I actually don't know. As the 2-1 is outside, 3-1. I know Galuski's at third.
Yeah.
So 3 balls and a strike now. Of course, Galuski always talks to the umpires. He's always chatting somebody up as him and Cam Haney are having a full-blown conversation right now. The 3-1 pitch of Doris is outside. Ball 4, so a 1-out base runner for the Black Bears brings up Anthony Stellan.
I was going to say, Doris, he might not be known for like getting a lot of hits, but always gets those walks. That's 15, now 16 to his name. It's still very vital to do that, even especially hitting where he is in the lineup.
So Stellan last night in the 9-hole, went 1-for-4 with an RBI and a run scored, one of 9 West Virginia runs. And he'll look at a pitch low that's called a strike. I'm going to give one to Crump there on the frame counter, and it's 0-1. Stellan disagrees, and so do I. Stellan out of Concord University, as this one is outside for a ball. 1 ball and 1 strike as Galuski relays the signs.
Stellan hitting a little bit up, further up in the lineup than his usual 9 spot, has earned the movement up.
1-1 pitch is in there on the corner. Stellan disagreeing with that as well. It's 1-2. Maybe feeling the squeeze, or excuse me, the opposite. He's getting hosed a little bit on the outside, not feeling the squeeze. So 1-2. For the Woodbridge, Virginia native. Off goes Doris. The pitch is high. It's a good one to throw down on, and they got him.
No doubt about it, that one, really.
It's caught stealing, 2-3. It was a high fastball, so it's a very good pitch to throw to second base on as you're already coming out of your crouch, and the throw is in plenty of time for the second out. Score it 2-4 as Prater applied the tag. So now 1-2, 2 outs on Anthony Stellan. Base is empty now. Figueroa comes set. The lengthy windup and delivers in there at the knees, according to Jeff Peel, for strike 3. So Stellan feels like he didn't even see a strike there, and I might have to agree with him, and he strikes out looking. We will head to the bottom, or top of the third, excuse me. The score is 1-0 West Virginia. It was a spirited pepperoni roll race. Patty's still missing, so Cooper filled in. And Hot Pepper Hank and Double Stuff Dave were pushing and shoving the entire length of the racetrack this evening. And Hot Pepper Hank comes out victorious. Still no whereabouts on Pepperoni and Cheese Patty, man. He has the Scrappers come up here. It'll be eight, nine, and one. Acosta, and Bucko. Miner's first pitch to Acosta is off the sweet level and back into the seats for a strike.
Thought one of the lucky fans was going to barehand it like we saw a couple times last night, but missed there.
So 0-1 on Tyler Acosta. The second pitch is hit hard to center field. Turner Hill on his horse and has room. He'll make the catch. Another beautiful read from Hill to make a hard play look routine.
Yeah, routine is the exact word for that. He only had to backtrack a couple steps there, but catches it in stride there for another quick first out.
So that'll bring up Abimael Gonzalez Acosta. The other Acosta, no relation. Tyler Acosta is from Illinois, Hoffman Estates, Illinois, to be exact, while Abimael Gonzalez Acosta is out of Bayamon, Puerto Rico, as he will look at strike one as the first pitch, 0-1.
Hitting 175 thus far, 10 runs, 14 hits, 3 doubles.
The 0-1 to Gonzalez Acosta is down and out, so the count moves to one ball and a strike.
I like that location by Miner, but Arrows was not able to frame it right there.
The 1-1 pitch is hit hard to left field, but playable. Hanging up there, the wind playing a factor, but it won't matter. Fernandez is there. Scored F7, quickly two away.
Those outfielders definitely have been busy as per usual, but Fernandez, again, just fielded that one that just dropped right into his glove. Two outs for the Black Bears.
That's now seven in a row set down. He's retired eight of the first nine, has Patrick Miner. Don Bucco will step back in. He was 1-for-3 with the lone run for Mahoning Valley yesterday. He also stole a base. As the first pitch to the Youngstown State Penguin is fouled back, and that is the best collegiate name, or one of the best collegiate names out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of them are overdone for sure.
Like, I don't know, Wolverines or Wildcats or Mountaineers. Panthers,
yeah. Definitely one.
No, that is one, for sure. The 0-1 is outside. Rams.
Yeah.
In the Atlantic 10, there are three of them. Fordham, Rhode Island, and VCU are all the Rams.
Oh, yep.
So one ball and one strike. Of course, you got Kentucky Wildcats, Arizona Wildcats. I'm sure there's more that I can't think of off the top of my head. As the 1-1 pitch here is outside. Tigers is another one.
Yeah, Hawks.
Hawks.
A lot of Hawks.
Yeah. Two balls and a strike now on Bucko. You know what's not? Bonnie's. Good one. 2-1. Miner kicking and the pitch. It is down low, but they're going to appeal. And no, he did not, says Cam Haney. Three balls and a strike on the leadoff hitter. That is the leadoff hitter in the Scrappers order. He's the third hitter this inning as there are two outs.
Definitely doing a lot better on waiting on those off-speed pitches to drop there, and it's served them well, 3-1 right now.
Three balls and a strike. Miner's pitch is in there. Strike two at 86. Aruz gives him a vote of confidence behind the plate with a point out to the mound, saying that's exactly where I like that. So 3-2, two outs here, 1-0 West Virginia. Top of the third inning, nobody on. Bucko at the plate. Miner getting his sign. Takes a deep breath. Goes into his motion for the payoff pitch. It is chopped to second. Miner slipped off the mound. Hopefully he's okay, but it's going to go as 4-3. Miner is limping a little bit, but he gave a thumbs up to his dugout, so we will just have to wait and see. It looks like he'll be okay. We'll head to the bottom of the third. 1-0 West Virginia. back here for the bottom of the third inning. Jan Figueroa will face Aruz. Alex Aruz, Tyler Bassetti, and Turner Hill. Aruz on loan from the Mahoning Valley Scrappers for the series, as we're short a catcher here. J.C. Santini still out for undisclosed reasons. As Aruz, this out of Faulkner University. First pitch to him is down low, a ball. He's hitting 170 with Mahoning this year. So it's definitely a desperation thing here for West Virginia, as Nolan Metcalf can't start every single game. That one's up high, 2-0 to the temporary Black Bear catcher. A ruse out of Sarasota, Florida, will rifle that one down to the right. Had our photography intern Mike jumping over there, even though it didn't get into the well. Good to see Mike's on his toes.
Oh, yeah, you can never catch Mike really off his toes. I wouldn't blame him, though. He's gotta be alert down there.
So two balls and a strike now to the catcher. Here's the pitch. It is outside, 3-1. Jan Figueroa through two innings thus far. The only blemish is the solo homer by Ruben Fontes in the first. He's retired every other batter in some way, form, or fashion, as that one is swung on and missed, strike two. He swung at ball four.
Yeah, he wanted all of that one. All those high fastballs, always hard to say no and swing at, but good location by Figueroa, knowing he would swing there.
The payoff pitch is swung on and missed. He climbed the ladder, did Figueroa, for the strikeout. That is his third of the day. One away for Tyler Bassetti.
Doesn't not look good really for Araúz there, who knew the high one was coming before and really swung at the same one with just a little bit more inside, recording the first out here.
So Bassetti coming in now, the shortstop tonight out of Vacaville, California. That one is fouled off, 0-1. We talked about this the other day. Calville, Manny?
Yeah,
Calville.
That's what it is.
That's crazy. Wonder how it got that name. I have a theory.
Got to hear more about this theory after this, this pitch.
0-1, Figueroa setting, and the pitch is outside, 1-1. So this theory, Manny, is that whoever settled the town when they got there, they either brought a bunch of cows or there were already cows there, and they were Spaniards, so they said Vacaville.
I like it. Nice and simple there. I like that.
The 1-1 is upstairs, 2-1. Got to find ways to entertain yourself up here sometimes.
California definitely has some of the more interesting town and city names.
Bassetti went to the University of Nevada this past year as he fouls this one off. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Had a 3-hit game the other day out of this 9-hole. Got yesterday off. Himself and Turner Hill found themselves on base together almost every time on Thursday night out of the 9 and 1 holes. It's almost like he's second leadoff, which Jedrko likes to do a lot. We saw it with Xavier Pinales a lot in the first half. He would get on base out of that 9-hole and set the table for Sam Crail, Blaze Brothers and Company, as that one's fouled off the screen on the right. So we'll do the 2-2 again.
Yeah, that 143 average definitely isn't doing him any justice at all. He's definitely played a lot better as of recently here, producing a lot for that Black Bears offense.
2 balls, 2 strikes to the Nevada product. The pitch is chopped hard up the middle into center field, a base hit. So a one-out base runner for the top of the order and Turner Hill.
We'd love to see that one. Gets a good turn of the hips there, and Weller had no chance at it. Sprinting there, diving to his left, and seems to be a bit shaken up there, Weller.
I believe his sunglasses fell off his hat. Yeah, he's a little hunched over right now.
Maybe the wind got knocked out of him as he did go full extension there on the dive.
Might have got hit in a bad area as well. On the dive, as Figueroa is going to play with his shoes to give his shortstop some extra time. He looks back there, gets the Okay, yeah, he's stretching out. You think he got hit down low. So Turner Hill stepping in now. He grounded out to shortstop his first time, which honestly I thought he was safe on. Those are just a little chopper, as that one's in there for a strike. He thought he was safe as well, but Mark Mail is the only thing that mattered, whether he was safe or not, and Mail thought he was out, so he was out. So one ball and a strike on the man from Marietta, Ohio. Hill hard on the ground, foul past the third baseline. Could not keep it fair, so quickly 0-2 on the West Virginia center fielder.
Prater favoring his right side a little bit more, shifting a few steps over to his right.
Around the league, Frederick up 5-3 on Trenton in the top of the sixth. Williamsport up 6-0 in the bottom of the third on State College. Lots of baseball left there, though. So now coming set at the letters is the pitcher, and Figueroa checks on the runner. He's back easily. Bassetti is definitely has speed, but not the biggest threat to run. We'll see if he goes on 0-2. I highly doubt it. It's a pretty generous lead, though. Figueroa's 0-2 pitch is slashed to left center field by Turner Hill. Acosta on the run will make a nice grab for the second out.
Yeah, initially I thought that one might have dropped there, but Tyler Acosta read it right and was on his horse right from the sound end. That played it very well. Reports the second out.
So that'll bring up Ruben Fontes. He hit the first pitch line drive, no doubter, into the Black Bear bullpen off of the in the left side of the batter's box. And I mentioned before when Drew was up here, the only thing the first half Black Bears team was missing was a consistent, powerful left-handed bat, which Merrick Chalupa was supposed to bring that. But by the time he got in here, you could tell he was a little bit fatigued. And once again, not a knock on Schloop at all, as the first pitch is blocked nicely in the dirt, ball one. You could tell he's just tired. He just won a D2 World Series. Mm-hmm. He had played for, what, 5 or 6 straight months with pretty much no rest. So Fontes and Matthew definitely bringing the left-handed power to this team. Really another complete Black Bears team, as this one's chopped right back up the middle under the glove of Figueroa into center field. It's a 2-out base hit. So the runners will be on first and second for Ryan Hernandez.
Fontes continuing his success there. Smacks it right up the middle, and Figueroa a little bit slow there to get the glove down. Would have definitely had the out there, but lets it squeak up through the middle. No chance for Prater or Weller. The inning continues.
So big number 18 coming up. Definitely not a guy you want to see with runners in scoring position. If you are the Scrappers, has a chance to extend this lead with a base hit. If he finds a gap, Fontes should score. And of course, if he puts it over the wall, it'll be 4-0. West Virginia up 1-0 right now. First and second, 2 outs in the bottom of the third. Jan Figueroa coming set at the letters, checks the runner and the pitch. Hernandez, a big hack and a foul ball back to the screen. No balls and one strike.
Can't help but think he's setting up that outside part of the play and building a presence there to drop that slider, and that worked wonders last time for him against Hernandez specifically.
No balls and a strike to the man out of Boston, Massachusetts in the University of Houston. The 0-1 pitch to Hernandez is once again fouled off the end of the bat to the screen. So he's just missed the first two pitches, but he's very close.
Definitely playing with fire, Figueroa, leaving it at that level. But I assume he will be dropping that slider in here, 0-2, with a waste pitch in his arsenal now.
So Figueroa coming set, no balls, and two strikes on Hernandez. Here's the pitch. It is well outside. The slider blocked nicely by Crump. It'll run to one ball and two strikes. Hernandez with 12 home runs this year. That is an MLB Draft League record. He broke the record previously held by Jake Plastiak of the Frederick Keys. He set that last year with 9. So it's broken and counting. The 1-2 pitch to Hernandez, it's a half-hearted attempt. They'll roll. He went around. That slider has gotten the better of him twice. The Black Bears strand 2. We will head to the top of the fourth inning. 1-0 West Virginia on the Black Bears Radio Network. Will Prater, Jeffrey Weller, and Gabe Gonzalez will be the first three to beat Patrick Miner, who is okay. He's back out there. He slipped off the mound, maybe twisted an ankle or something along those lines last inning, but he is fine. He's pitched very well. He's retired 9 of 10 Mahoning Valley hitters. He'll face Will Prater out of Dallas, Georgia, and Western Carolina. First pitch to Prater is in there, strike one. So ahead of the number two hitter, he has the only hit for Mahoning thus far. It was a single and a stolen base back in the first. He was stranded at second. Miner kicks in, delivers the 0-1. It is back up the middle. Doris is there, though. He will make a throw and a beautiful scoop by Logan Matthew, which we've come accustomed to seeing. One away.
Yeah, absolutely. Logan Matthew made it look so simple there after Doris had to really try and throw that one as quick as he can because Prater was cooking down there, but threw it in the dirt, and Matthew made it look very easy out there.
Jeffrey Weller now comes to the plate out of St. Mary's, Pennsylvania, the University of Pittsburgh. Previously spent time at Youngstown State University as well, so familiar with the Mahoning area, which Mahoning Valley, for those of you who don't know, around, they are based around Youngstown State as he fouls the ball off his front foot for strike one as Jeff Peel is going to walk around and give him a second.
Jeff Weller, definitely, like you mentioned, very accustomed to this area. Played four sports in high school. Very athletic background in his younger days before settling down onto this baseball path. It's
baseball, football, golf, and what was the fourth? Basketball?
Yep.
I know my stuff. As Weller swings and misses at the 0-1 breaking pitch, 0-2. I played baseball and golf in high school. I was no good at either, but I still played. Better at baseball at the time than golf.
Definitely a good compliment to each other, golf and baseball.
The swings are similar, are very different, though, as that one's fouled off to stay at 0-2. It's when you first start golfing, for me, I've played baseball my whole life. The grip is different, and the follow-through is different. For baseball, you really got to turn the hips. For golf, you kind of got to, you still have to rotate, but not nearly as much. The hands are different as well. Mm-hmm. Similar, but very different. So 0-2 to Weller. That one is, ooh, I thought he had him, but according to home plate umpire Jeff Peel, that is just missing the strike zone, 1-2.
I thought Ruiz did a very good frame job there, and I thought he was going to get him to go there, but Peel not being influenced by the catcher there.
1-2. Miner kicks and delivers. Down low once again. So 2-2 here to Jeff Wheeler.
It's a very tough pitch to lay off. That one was as good as an execution as you want from Miner, but Weller not biting yet.
2-2. Did he go? No, we did not. So in the dirt, 3 balls and 2 strikes. Now it was 0-2 at one point. He has fought his way back to 3-2. Miner gets his sign. 3-2, 1 out, no one on. West Virginia up 1-0 here in the fourth. The payoff pitch down low. He lost him. He had him 0-2 and loses him for a 1-out walk.
I mean, yeah, good. Or a lot of credit to Weller, because those back-to-back off-speed pitches were very good, very tempting, but he stayed true to his notes on Miner and earned himself a walk here.
So that'll bring up Gabe Gonzalez. Gonzalez was 1-for-3 last night with a double, the only extra base hit of the night, 1 of 4 total hits on the night for the Mahoning Valley Scrappers. As he stands in. Waits the first pitch. Here it comes. It's a waving swing and a miss. 0-1.
Completely fooled on that one. Wanted definitely a home run swing there, but way too out in front of it. That one, as Miner took off a few miles per hour on that one.
Gabe Gonzalez standing in at 6-1, 215 out of Mission Hills, California. The 0-1 pitch. A half-hearted attempt, rolled a swing at the plate. It definitely was. No balls and two strikes. Gonzalez, frustrated with himself, is going to take a walk.
Not as successful as Weller was. Not biting at that one. Very good execution by Miner. And like you said, Gonzalez kicking himself over that one.
So no balls, two strikes here. See if Miner can get Gonzalez here, unlike Weller. First, he'll check on Weller. So, 0-2. Still, Miner towing the rubber on the first base side. Gonzalez stepping in. Taps the plate twice. Miner gets his sign. Sets at the belt. Runner not going anywhere. The 0-2 pitch is lifted to center field. Turner Hill has a beat on it, because as he always does, and he'll make the grab. 2 away.
You get good contact, good everything to smack it out there onto the outfield, but Turner Hill is like a free safety out there, really. One of the best, really tracking down everything very well and records the second out.
I like that comparison, like a free safety. So that'll bring up Alex Crump. He struck out swinging his first time to start the second. Gets his second looks here in the fourth. Fourteenth pitch of the inning coming up. It'll be number 57 overall. It's outside. Ball one. We're here in the top of the fourth inning. 1-0 West Virginia.
Alex Crump struck out last time. And again, noticing that crowd of the plate, they're making it a little bit tougher for a reminder to work inside.
The 1-0 pitch is in there for a strike. 1-1. Something I noticed about Crump too, his uniform is very baggy. Both his jersey and his pants.
Yeah, I was going to say around the knees it's very evident when he tries, especially with the high socks. It isn't as clean as other Mahoning Valley Scrappers.
It's a look though. It's an old-timey look. I like it. 1-1. Miner delivers. It is just off the plate. Probably a good call from Jeff Peel, as it was attempted to be framed by Aruza. Aruza, I should say, not Aruza. 2 balls and a strike to the man out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. That one is also down low. A good block by Aruza. 3-1.
Going back to that off-speed pitch there for Miner, I think he obviously has used it as a strikeout pitch, but I think the Scrappers are definitely catching on a little bit, and a lot of them have not bitten at the bait there.
Crump out of Murray State. A pitch away from possibly drawing a walk. 3 balls and a strike. Runner on first, 2 outs. The pitch is fouled off above our heads. So 3-2. Weller is going to be off with motion. So he'll get a head start. A ball in the gap will more than likely score him. The left fielder, Fernandez, playing exceptionally deep out there. The other two, Hill and Fontes, pretty normal, straight up out there. Gaps look pretty big right now, though. I don't know why. As the 3-2 pitch, runner goes. That ball is in the air to right center field. Turner Hill patrolling his normal spot out there. Makes the catch, and we will head to the bottom of the fourth inning. The Black Bears lead at 1-0 on the West Virginia Radio Network. Back here for the bottom of the fourth inning, 1-0 West Virginia lead. It'll be Logan, Matthew, Adon Fernandez, and Javonte Doris to face Jan Figueroa, who has settled in very nicely after the Fontes solo home run. Matthew grounded out to second to end the first inning his first time. He was 4-for-4 with a bunch of other good statistics with his name, including two RBIs, two runs, two doubles, and a walk in last night's contest. Figueroa's pitch, Matthew rolls over foul, strike one.
Late movement on that pitch seemed to be the slider again, riding in on the hands of Matthew, causing him to pull that one even more foul.
So some other scores from around the league. It's 5-3. Frederick in the seventh. Williamsport opened up a 7-0 lead now on State College, so could be heading to a very crucial game three tomorrow. As the 0-1 pitch is down low, they'll appeal to Haney. He says, no, sir, 1-1. Of course, mystery at the Mon here tonight. Pepperoni and cheese patty has gone missing. Also a fireworks night here, again. The 1-1 pitch is fouled off. 1-2, we had fireworks last night as well, Manny. They were very good. Probably the best show of the year.
Yeah, definitely enjoy. You can always enjoy the fireworks show, as do a lot of the fans here who come definitely for the show afterwards, as well as enjoying some great baseball here at the Mon.
Pretty good crowd tonight as well for a Saturday here. Saturday night baseball at Monongahela County Ballpark. The 1-0 pitch is lifted high to the right side and playable. Acosta is waving his arms in the air, calling off the second baseman, Prater, and he'll make the catch, one away.
Yeah, just got under that one a little bit too much. A good location, but the bat location obviously wasn't the best there to pull it over. It's a shallow right field for Acosta to record the out.
So that'll bring up Adon Fernandez. He bounced out to third, his first time back in inning number two. Fernandez out of Halea, Florida, takes ball one up high and a little bit off the plate. Nova Southeastern University, also the collegiate home of Jeremy Cook, The 1-0 pitch is also up high, so quickly 2-0 on the West Virginia left fielder. Still 1-0 West Virginia here in the fourth inning. Figueroa coming set, winding up and delivering. Fernandez fouls that off 2-1. Figueroa's windup features a very high leg kick.
Yeah, very not unorthodox, but so something we haven't really seen here out of the pitchers in the last series in Frederick and last night.
Two balls and a strike. The pitch is rolled over to the left side. Ponce up with it. A nice play will get Fernandez two away.
And the fielding for the both teams has been very solid. There's Ponce fields it beautifully, and just a couple hops in it as he fires it to Gonzalez for the second out.
So that'll bring up Javonte Doris. He walked and was caught stealing last time, his first time in the second inning. As working quickly now, Figueroa lays one in there at the knees for a strike. Figueroa has really settled into this ballgame, as I mentioned, after that home run. He's only allowed three hits. He's walked one. The only real trouble he's been in was last inning. He had first and second, but that was with two outs. He struck out Ryan Hernandez to end that threat as that one's up high and away again, 1-1.
Definitely has learned his lesson from the location of these pitches a lot better, as you mentioned there.
1-1 pitch is outside, 2-1. That slider has been a very good pitch for him tonight.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying watching him throw the slider, because just of the execution, that late drop there at the end has gotten a lot of the Black Bears fooled on swings and misses.
2-1, the pitch is fouled off to the screen, 2-2. So Figueroa is a strike away from ending this fourth inning. As Ryan Mann is on ball boy duty tonight, as he had the start yesterday. Kind of like how the Black Bears do that. The starting pitcher from yesterday's game is your ball boy for today. The 2-2 pitch fouled back to the backstop, so might have gone off of Crump. Either way, the count remains 2-2.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he got the glove to that one, would have been very good by him to record the strikeout tipped into the glove, but a little late.
Two balls and two strikes to Doris out of Southern University. Hitting 261 here, the pitch. It is a little flare to the first baseman. Scored L3. The inning is over. We head to the fifth inning here at Monongahela County Ballpark. 1-0 West Virginia. Back here for the top of the fifth inning. We are still at the 1-0 score. The Ruben Fontes solo shot, the only tally thus far, Manny.
Yeah, and thinking this might be a bullpen kind of game if it all goes well, or a pitching just kind of game, because the hits have been limited to just four total, unlike last night. It's always interesting, or always pleasant times, to see quite the opposite. Some people like seeing the defensive or the pitcher's duel go back and forth.
It'll be Oscar Ponce, Adam Fogle, and Tyler Acosta. As the first pitch here to Ponce is lifted to deep right center field, and Turner Hill's going to get run, a dive, and it's in and out of the glove. So Ponce will head to second with what should be a double. Hill laid out for that, almost making a spectacular catch.
Yeah, that, I mean, he had it in his glove. He just lost it once the glove hit against the ground there. I'm sure he thought he made the play there, just as surprised as we were that it fell out, but he made a good recovery throw and limited only to a double.
He covered a lot of ground there and had it in his glove. The turf jarred it loose. I'm sure he'll want it back, but a very tough play. So it's a leadoff double, and the Scrappers have their best opportunity of the night. Nobody out for Adam Fogle. The DH grounded out the shortstop his first time. Standing at 6'5", 215, I believe, is what we said earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds about right. Definitely, definitely playing in the 6'5 part.
6'5", 215. Oh, he's out of Palo Verdes. Palos Verdes, California. That one is swung on and missed from big number 34 for a strike.
Very fitting name. Palos Verdes, tree, the height.
Yeah, look at that.
It all comes together.
Miner looks in. Gets his sign. He'll look at the runner on second base. The 0-1 pitch is in there at the knees for a strike. Of course, a bit of a bigger strike zone if you're 6'5".
Yeah, absolutely. And that was just a very good pitch in there. Vogel thought it was going to be a ball. Didn't even move. Was fooled completely. Good opportunity for Miner to record a strikeout.
So no balls and two strikes here. The pitch is chopped to the right side. Matthew will take it himself, but it's a productive out number one as Fogle gets the job done. Ponce moves the third one away.
Yeah, I mentioned that strikeout would have been very ideal, but they'll take that one out at first, but just got to be extra careful now with Tyler Acosta coming to bat.
Acosta lined out to the center fielder Hill his first time. He has a runner on third. A deep fly ball should be good enough to tie this ball game at one. Miner set at the belt and delivers. That one is flared to right field and going to drop in for a base hit. The throw's going to come home, but it's just late. And the Scrappers tie this up on a Tyler Acosta RBI single.
Yeah, and they put his right fielder. Fontes put his glove up. Definitely kind of signaling that he wasn't going to get there. I thought he was going to be a lot more forceful to that one, but he did allow the run to score, and then we have a tie ball game now with the hits also being tied up at three.
Abimael Gonzalez Acosta will come in now with Tyler Acosta on first. The first pitch is in there, framed very well by Aruz. He buys a strike. Acosta not happy for a good reason.
Yeah, especially with the limited amount of hits there, it doesn't help that Aruz is helping out get the Black Bear some strikes here.
The 0-1 pitch foul to the screen.
Good comeback pitch there on the off-speed there. Got Abimael very aggressive on that one, only managed to foul that one away.
So 0-2 on Acosta. Any out here would be big. Runner on first. One down. A double play is in the cards as well. It's a pickoff attempt and barely getting back in there. That was a beautiful throw to Matthew.
Yeah, threw it perfectly on the inner part of Matthew, and very quick, too, by the first baseman to try and get the tag down, but Mail says no. He got back in there safe.
There's the pitch. It is fouled into the sweet level here. And back into the stands. So we'll do the 0-2 again.
Thinking that patented curveball there almost in the dirt should be the pitch here. Try and produce a ground ball or a swinging strike either one would be much desired for Miner.
0-2, Acosta on first. The other Acosta at the plate. I'll check on Tyler Acosta at first. He's back safely once again. That one wasn't as close as the first one. Ebemiel Gonzalez Acosta out of Puerto Rico. Miner comes set. Pitcher out of White House, Texas. Long pause and checks the runner again and back safely for a third time is Acosta. So still 0-2 here. Haven't had a pitch here in a little bit. Here it comes. Acosta runs. That pitch is fouled off. And Aruz was standing. Because it's like they knew he was going. So he has to go back to second base. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, he is a teammate of theirs. Definitely knows them very well. And if it wasn't for that to save him, I think he would have most definitely been caught stealing there. See if he does it again.
No balls and two strikes. He's fouled off two pitches here. Tyler Acosta, a big lead over there. I wouldn't be surprised if they checked on him again. They don't. He doesn't go. That pitch is sky high to the right side. Doris doesn't see it at all. It's going to drop in a base hit. So a lazy pop-up gets lost in the post-twilight sky here as Doris was going out for it. And you can see he puts his arms up, but he doesn't know where it is. I guess Fontes didn't see it either, and it drops. So first and second, one out for the top of the order.
Yeah, I don't think that either one really saw it, because if Fontes did, he would have definitely been running onto that a lot faster. But that is the disadvantage playing tonight with the clouds also making it a bit darker, harder to see, easier to lose there in the bright white lights.
Here's the pitch. It is down low. So one ball and no strikes to Dominic Bucco. He flew to left and bounced out to second thus far. The 1-0 pitch coming. That is lined right to Bassetti at short, who... a little jumping, look what I found, to snag that one. So the baseball gods canceling out here. A little fluke pop-up single, and then a line drive right at Pacetti.
Absolutely speared it out of the air there. Timed it perfectly, timed the jump perfectly, and got it quickly enough. But lucky for Acosta that he made it back in there, because that one was scorched out there and right into the glove of Pacetti.
Steelers and Jaguars right now. Playing a preseason game, Kenny Pickett had just entered the game. His first series, he goes 6 of 7 for 76 yards and a touchdown, marching Pittsburgh right down the field. Start that man. 11-yard touchdown to Benny Snell.
Okay, okay. He's following it a little bit, Mitch.
First pitch to Prater is lined on the left field line, but foul, barely a break for the Black Bears. 0-1. Runners on first and second with two outs. So Prater singled and stole second in the first and bounced out to Doris at second base in the fourth. Batting here in the fifth, one run in for Mahoning. Threatening for more. Miner laboring for the first time tonight. Time is called. Still hasn't thrown a lot of pitches this inning. 13 up to this point. That's 74 overall. So pitch number 75 total. Coming here from Miner. Here it comes. Swung on and missed. Stays in the dirt. So no advance there. Good block. It's now 0-2.
Good drop there on the off-speed pitch. Definitely can just keep it him honest out there. Any out would suffice, but Miner's definitely been comfortable going to that off-speed pitch to make any outs, strikeouts, groundouts would be very beneficial here for Miner.
So I believe it is no balls and two strikes. Scoreboard says 1-1. I believe it's 0-2. He offered at that last pitch.
Yeah.
Okay, so 0-2 here on Will Prater. Just double checking. Timeout is called.
Thought Peel was giving the right count there to kind of fix the scoreboard, but it was a called time, like you said.
0-2, Miner sets. And the pitch, chopped foul to the left side. We'll keep it there.
Well, if it wasn't, if there was any doubt, there's definitely none now. Two strikes on two outs to Prater.
So still 0-2. First and second, two outs in the top of the fifth. Miner's pitch is chopped to the left side. Going to be a tough play. Bassetti has it on the run. A beautiful play to get the third out. Score at 6-3. The Black Bears tightrope out of danger. We will head to the bottom of the fifth. We're halfway home here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Tied at 1. We're back here at Monongahela County Ballpark. Jan Figueroa has settled into this game nicely. The Scrappers retied it in the top of the fifth. So it'll be Anthony Stellan, Alex Aruz, and Tyler Bassetti. Stellan struck out looking his first time. Didn't swing the bat at all, and I don't really think he saw a strike either. So he'll look to get back in the hit column here as the first pitch is swung on and missed. A good breaking ball. Fooling Stellan, 0-1.
Breaking balls for both pitchers have definitely been the go-to tonight.
The pitch to Stellan is in there. Another breaking ball. A good pitch, and Stellan quickly behind 0-2.
I guess when you give up a fastball home run, the off-speed is, you definitely find comfort in the off-speeds after that.
Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. A poor at-bat by Stellan. Frustrated. We'll head back to the dugout with a couple of strikeouts. Alex Aruz will step in now.
Yeah, no doubt about that one. Swung at that last one, but three pitch strike out there. Not a good look for Stellan. He'll be frustrated, like you said.
So that'll bring in Aruz, the catcher on loan from the Scrappers for this series, as that one is also in there for a strike. No balls and one strike. That's four straight here for Figueroa.
For the back-to-back strikeouts. You got both of these guys, Stellan and Aruz, back in the second and third innings, respectively.
The 0-1 pitch is fouled off to the right side. 0-2.
Fan dropped the ball there. Would have been one of the cleanest snags, the double ricochet off the right side of the stadium here.
So 0-2 to Alex Ruse, Sarasota, Florida native. Figueroa's pitch up high, ball one. The immaculate inning is now out of the question.
Absolutely there. I mean, Ruse was the one that chased on those two fastballs last time out, but definitely learned his lesson there and took that one for a ball.
Figueroa's long, lengthy windup. The pitch is down low, blocked nicely by Crump. Just in case there was a swing, we'll move to two balls and two strikes. Figueroa looking in. The windup and the 2-2 pitch is also outside, so he's battled back from 0-2 back to 3-2. We saw a scrapper do that earlier in this game.
Yeah, not a lot of battles for Figueroa to really get into. Has been very well on the locations with that slider and fastball, so definitely something new here for the pitcher.
The 3-2 pitch is swung on and missed. The second strikeout this inning. That's six now in total for Figueroa, who has pitched very well this evening.
Yeah, Aruz had no chance of catching that fastball. Very deceiving after seeing the slider out there. No chance on the gas there for the second out.
That'll bring in Tyler Bassetti, a three-hit night the other day. Let off, his second batter in the third. He singled for his first plate appearance. A vicious hack at a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. It's 0-1.
Blackbirds are definitely slow on that one after seeing so many off-speed pitches. Figueroa very wise to work the fastball back in here.
The 0-1 swung on and missed down to a knee. Figueroa having his way with the Black Bears right now. As around the draft league, 5-3, Frederick in the top of the eighth against the Trenton Thunder. Williamsport leads that big game at State College 7-0, looking to get within a game again of State College. Of course, one of those two teams likely to be the opponent here in the championship game as Bassetti down to a knee. It's another strikeout. He fans the side. We're through five here at Monongahela County Ballpark, 1-1 on the Black Bears Radio Network.
And rosters that I have.
So you're not going to do it tomorrow, right?
No, I'm done with my own. I've got Mahoney's roster. All Mahoney's players in their lineup and information about them. I've got all of the Black Bears players in this document. So it's just, it's a lot of research.
Who do we play in the series on that Tuesday game?
I guess it's Frederick and Mahoney.
And Frederick, that guy doesn't want to be one.
Yeah, that will help you a lot. Yeah, these. I thought you guys were in the seats tonight.
Back here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Top of the sixth inning coming up. A very impressive inning from Jan Figueroa. He threw 12 pitches, striking out the side. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, usually the sixth inning is where we see if how long these pitchers will most certainly go.
So it'll be Weller, Gonzalez, and Crump. First pitch here to Weller is in there for a strike. He flew out to center and walked. The 0-1 pitch from Miner is laced right back out the middle. A base hit into center field. So a leadoff single. The Scrapper is in business.
Yeah, and Weller definitely doing a lot more than he did last night out of that three-hole walking and now singling there. Good contact on it. Got the hips turned on that one. No chance for Hill to make a play on that one. Leadoff hitter for the Scrappers.
So Gabe Gonzalez comes in. He struck out looking in the first and flew out to center field. I've noticed Patrick Miner is starting to get hit a little bit harder here as his night continues. He was at 76 pitches coming into this inning. Looks like we've got somebody getting up and stretching out there in the Black Bears bullpen as he drops a 77-mile-an-hour off-speed pitch. It looked like the curveball in for a strike. We'll work on identification for the Black Bears pitcher down there. As Miner sets and the pitch, runner half went. They're going to throw behind him. A good chance to get him in. Matthew cannot apply the tag in time.
Very odd there. Weller, who seemed to be fully committed to that one, goes back.
Well, ball beat him, but the tag did not. Just getting back in there. Not sure what that pitch was rolled. Think it was a ball?
I think it was a ball there. Our scoreboard's a little slow to put it up there, but just odd. Odd sightings here again at the mound.
He like half went and then stopped, so it was a good play to throw down there as the 1-1 pitch is swung on and missed. Strike two. One ball and two strikes here to Gabe Gonzalez. Still working on identifying the West Virginia arm. Might be Lorg. I believe it is Chase Lorg who is getting loose, which is about right for the situation. The 1-2 pitch is just missing up high. We'll go to 2-2.
One of the rare fastballs I've seen tonight from Miner, obviously too high there for the take it for the second ball, but I'd like him to work that one in a lot more here, especially because we do anticipate a pitching change. I think it'll help him get out of this inning for sure.
Yeah, more than likely the last inning for Patrick Miner. He's pitched pretty very well tonight. That one's in the dirt, 3-2. He's got a task at hand, though. Nobody out now. Man on first and a full count. A double play would be ideal, but I think he'll take any out he can get at the moment.
Yeah, and definitely as we look out there, Doris definitely favoring his right side there, anticipating a pull or just to make that double play, that possible double play, a little bit easier out there for him.
Tons of room on the right side. He could roll one through there, and he would be safe. 3-2 pitch, runner goes. It is called strike three on the inner half. The runner is safe at second. Gonzalez can't believe it. So one out, and the go-ahead run, Weller steals second base.
And, again, I would have.
Yeah.
I mean.
Got the inside black.
Yeah. It was a little bit from that one. I could see why Gonzalez would be a little bit frustrated just because I think he does crowd the plate a lot more, so it does look a lot more inside than it really is. But good call there by Peel.
Miner looks in now, and it's Alex Crump he will see. That one is a block. Blocked well by Aruz. So 1-0. Crump struck out looking and flew out to center field. Out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, Murray State is where he played his collegiate ball. Miner comes set at the belt. Looks at the runner Weller at second and delivers. In there, a beautiful pitch. One ball and one strike. I'm going to give credit to Aruz there for another good frame job. That's three tonight.
Very good pitch there to come back after taking that ball. And like you mentioned, Aruz framed it well, but a very, very good location by Miner.
One ball, one strike, one out. Man on second. 1-1 here in the top of the sixth inning. He's going to step off and check on Weller, who's, I don't want to say, I don't know if he's in his head, but he's definitely thinking about him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. How could you not after that ill advice steal attempt and then actually stealing, getting that second bag? It's definitely something to look out for. He is very antsy out there.
Here's the pitch. It is in there. A beautiful breaking pitch loops in at the knees. So one and two. Oscar Ponce is on deck. He scored after a leadoff double last inning. Trying to get Crump and keep this game where it is at one. One down, man on second. There is also an arm getting hot in the Mahoning bullpen, so we will see if Figueroa comes back out at 77 pitches or not. The pitch, it is in there, down low. Did he go? No, says Mark Mail, who's out by second base. Very close, but no cigar. Two and two.
Yeah, I think I definitely give that one to Mail. Good call there. Did want to swing at it, but a good job of holding up there. Did Crump?
Two balls and two strikes. Miner comes set. The pitch is swung on and missed. He got him. A poor-looking swing down to a knee. A big strikeout. Two away for Oscar Ponce.
Very similar to the strikeout he got on Crump back in the second. Got him down to a knee again and went back to that breaking ball there. Good second strikeout as Miner didn't seem to have lost really a beat.
That's four now for Miner in terms of strikeouts as Aruz is going to chat with him. Maybe about if they even want to pitch to Ponce with Fogle on deck. He hasn't looked that great tonight. The arm out there is not quite throwing off the mound yet. I believe it is number seven, Alan Carter, out of Lee University from Swanee, Georgia. And the umpire, Jeff Peel, is out there now having a conversation with both pitcher and catcher. They don't want to leave. So finally come back to the mound right now.
Usually they don't even make their way out there. They just give a shout really to break it up.
So a man on second. That's Weller. He singled and stole second on Gabe Gonzalez's strikeout looking. And Crump struck out swinging. He's the go-ahead run here in the sixth. The first pitch to Ponce is in there. A beautiful 87-mile-an-hour fastball on the inner black. 0-1.
Some words there exchanged with Peel, but good call there by Peel. Definitely making sure to call that strike zone as it is, even though there is a little bit of a crowd there by Ponce.
0-1, Miner sets, and the pitch is popped to shallow right center field. Who wants it? Fontes does, and makes the catch. Patrick Miner with a brilliant six-inning performance. You got to think his day is more than likely done. He gives up one run. We will head to the bottom of the sixth inning. 1-1. Back here for the bottom of the sixth inning. It's a little bit surprising, but not really at the same time, to see Jan Figueroa back out on the hill. He's thrown 77 pitches. He's punched out seven, I believe. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven strikeouts for Jan Figueroa. It'll be the top of the order, Turner Hill, Ruben Fontes, and Ryan Hernandez. And this has been the inning that has been the, I'm going to score a bunch of runs and put you away inning for the Black Bears. The sixth, as that one is outside ball one. And who better to do it than the top of the order?
Absolutely. We mentioned it yesterday. The Black Bears do give them an opportunity to get in the game for their opposing players. So we'll see what happens.
That is up high. One ball and a strike. Here's the pitch. It is in there at the knees. So 1-2 quickly on Turner Hill. The Scrappers have scored once on five hits and no errors. The Black Bears once on three hits. They have not committed an error either. As that one is down low, a good block behind the plate, 2-2.
Try to get him the chaser with that slider. Good movement on it, but Hill does know what Figueroa is throwing out there, so good discipline there.
1-2 pitch, Hill. A little flare to the left side. Out is Weller. He makes the grab. P6, one away, and Figueroa keeps on cruising now at 82 pitches.
Yeah, after going inside on Turner Hill there, he goes back outside and gets him reaching, and an easy pop out there for Weller to make there and record the first out.
Eight in a row set down for Weller. He's allowed three hits and a walk thus far as well. This man, Ruben Fontes, has two of the three hits, including the solo home run, back in the first inning. So Fontes accounting for two-thirds of the hits and half of the base runners thus far from Bonita, California. First pitch to him is up high, ball one. Of course, the last Black Bear with a multi-home run game was the other day, Logan Mathieu hitting his two home runs on, I believe that was Wednesday night. The 1-0 pitch is in there for a strike. Figueroa keeps dealing.
Absolutely, and Fontes looking to provide a spark here as the Black Bears offense has gone very, very silent since that first inning.
That ball is chopped onto the screen. Foul, 1-2. So quickly down to with two strikes here. Figueroa coming, set, and the pitch is outside. Two balls and two strikes to Fontes. Ryan Hernandez lurks on deck. He is sitting on a couple of strikeouts, so you know he wants to get a good hack on the ball when he gets up there. It's hard to hold Ryan Hernandez down. The 2-2 pitch to Fontes up high, 3-2.
Definitely knows Fontes likes that. Middle of the chest, the high fastball. He crushed one back in the first, but Fontes, good discipline to not swing at that one as it flew out of the strike zone.
Lorg still loosening in the Black Bears' pen. 3-2, one out, 1-1 in the bottom of the sixth. Figueroa's pitch swung on and missed, fouled into the glove of the catcher. Strikeout number 8 of the day for Figueroa. He is locked in.
Yeah, the first battle he's one against Fontes, and a lot better, or I should say a lot more tempting of a high fastball pitch there. Fontes wanted it, but just swung completely under it as we get a little bit of a mound visit from the Scrappers here.
I think he's going to the bullpen.
Wow.
So Matt Bush comes out and gets the ball before Figueroa can face Ryan Hernandez in an unbelievable outing as the Scrappers dugout is coming out of their dugout and basically giving him a standing ovation, which is well-deserved. The reliever converted starter. He hasn't been the best this year. Fantastic outing.
Yeah, I just can't help but think that obviously this was probably premeditated that he would come out. But why? Just because he's had so much success against Hernandez, striking him out back-to-back, you think you'd let him get the last out here instead of facing a fresh arm. But we'll see what happens as Ryan Hernandez gets extra practice swings in now before Carter warms up.
He threw 88 pitches, so I got to think that Matt Bush is going to play, or Homer Bush, excuse me, is going to play it safe and say, I don't want to let you face Hernandez a third time. He's a very, very good hitter. He's going to adjust, so I'm going to try my luck with the bullpen, and that's Alan Carter, number 7, 6'3", 220-pound right-hander out of Lee University out of Suwanee, Georgia. As I'm going to get you his numbers here momentarily.
Usually with Ryan Hernandez, it's not if he'll get a hit. It's usually when he will record that hit in the game. So, again, I do see the benefits of the Homer Bush movement here to the bullpen.
Absolutely. So that brings in, as I mentioned before, Alan Carter. This year he's been very good. In 14 appearances, he has started 2 games. So it can definitely go length, too, if Mahoning needs. He's 26 and two-thirds innings. He has only allowed 8 earned runs. That's a 2.70 ERA. He has not allowed a home run yet. Has walked 19, struck out 44, so a big strikeout guy. A 1.39 whip, a 1.91 opponent average. Kind of surprised to see him coming out of the bullpen, but that's another weapon for the Scrappers, and looks like a worthy adversary for Ryan Hernandez. He has thrown a bunch of pitches on our little cheat sheet here. Fastball 56% of the time, a slider 20% of the time, a changeup 11%, a curveball 11%, a cutter 2%, and he's thrown a splitter as well at less than 1%. So really a 4-pitch mix, but he has thrown 6 total pitches here.
Just look at him, just looking at him warm up, that fastball seems to have some velocity on it for sure.
About 89.5 miles an hour average velocity. He has 5,525 logged pitches here in Synergy Sports. That's impressive.
Yeah, definitely a well-seasoned guy out of the pen and a worthy adversary for Hernandez as he makes his way into the box now.
You get the feeling this is a big at-bat in this game, Manny.
Yeah, really a clash of titans, really, after those stats that you read out. And Ryan Hernandez, of course, we know the threat he poses. This could be a momentum switcher here for sure.
So Hernandez has struck out twice, of course. He is your MLB Draft League home run leader, record holder at 12 and counting, out of Boston, Massachusetts, and the University of Houston. Big number 18 stands at 6'4", 240. Here's the pitch. In there for a strike. 0-1 here on the designated hitter. Pitching him backwards. We'll see if Hernandez can adjust. Comes set, and the pitch is outside from Alan Carter. 1-1.
Good hold by Hernandez there. Looked very, very close to the strike zone there, nipping that outer black, but ball nonetheless.
The chant was, let's go Ryan, here at the mound. Hernandez, 1-1. The pitch is swung on and missed. A big hack at a pitch upstairs, and Hernandez down 1-2. We don't see him strike out a lot, at least comparatively to the balls he puts in play and homers and walks he has. A hat trick is very unordinary.
Yeah, very much unheard of.
1-2 to Hernandez. Carter sets, and the pitch. Hernandez pops it way up in the air. Who wants it is the question. It's going to be the first baseman, and it's going to drop on the mound. Wow. So miscommunication, a ball in no man's land. As we get a look at the replay here, Carter really didn't vacate the area. The wind, Manny.
Yeah.
It is whipping still. Definitely carried that ball over. We'll get an official scoring for you. I think it's probably going to be an E3. But the wind, the flags are blowing dead in from right field, and that's where that ball was tracking. It was tracking towards the third base line. So that'll bring up the ever-dangerous Logan Mathieu.
Yeah, that's a good point you made. The wind now playing a factor for sure, but I would have probably liked to have seen Crump try and make that play instead of Gonzalez.
Ooh, that's a tough play for a catcher.
Yeah, it's just Gonzalez seemed to track. He seemed to like go late on his decision.
Fair, as that one's fouled off. I honestly think that was probably a left side infielder's ball,
yeah,
either Ponce or Weller, but I guess he was calling it, so If he's calling it.
That's true. Yeah, if you're calling it, you think most often than not they do make the play on that.
So on our scoreboard here, it's an air. Yep, it's an air. E3 Hernandez reaches on. Logan Matthew up in the box here. The pitch is in there, so quickly 0-2. Carter looking to work around the air. If you're just joining us, 1-1 here in the bottom of the sixth inning between the Scrappers and Black Bears. Logan Matthew at the plate with a runner on. The wind still blowing in hard from right field. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. He got him. We will head to the bottom of the, top of the seventh inning here at Monongahela County Ballpark, tied at one on the Black Bears Radio Network. Pepperoni and cheese patty has been found and rescued. It was Hot Pepper Hank with a baseball bat in guest services tonight here at the Mon. I knew Hot Pepper Hank was always up to no good. That mustache really has him looking kind of squirrely.
It's that grin. The grin combined with the mustache. How could you not think it was Hank?
Yeah, so Hank will be taken away by authorities to the local jail. I'm sure he'll be bailed out in time to race tomorrow, you would think, as the new pitcher is Chase Lorick. But before we get to him, Miner went six good innings, allowing five hits, one earned run, one walk, four strikeouts. Lorick, this season, we've seen him a decent amount here on this homestand. We've seen most of the West Virginia pitching staff on this homestand. He's 2-0 with a 5.73 ERA in nine games. He's pitched 11 total innings, 17 hits, seven earned runs, one home run. He's yet to hit somebody. Eight walks to 12 strikeouts, a 2.27 whip. He offers a fastball at 65%, a slider at 15%, and a change in a curve at 10%. So it'll be Adam Fogle, Tyler Acosta, and Abimiel Gonzalez Acosta. As that one is outside to Fogle. Ball one here to start the seventh. 1-1 is our score. Here's the pitch. It is outside once again, so 2-0.
Very reliable arm out of the pen for manager Jed Jerko. Like you mentioned, we have seen him a lot, so this is definitely a good spot for him to come in.
And that one is also down low, 3-0 quickly. One thing you can't be doing in a 1-1 baseball game is walking people.
Got to be a strike here, you would think.
Here's the pitch. It is a strike in there. All right, Manny, what's going to happen next?
I'm thinking I think he's got to go back to that fastball. I would go inside personally just because he's targeted the outside black here so many times.
Wind up in the pitch by Lorick. It is a fastball inside. It's just too far inside for ball four. So a walk to Adam Fogle after an 0-for-2 start. Brings up Tyler Acosta.
I like the location of it, of course, but Lord definitely being overly favored to that fastball, trying to establish that for sure.
Lord coming set now, runner on first is a go-ahead run. Here's the first pitch, swung on and missed, strike one to Tyler Acosta. He lined out to center and had the RBI single back in the fifth.
Definitely have another nail biter in store here at the Mon. What a great game to send my partner off here, Michael, for sure.
All I can ask for is a West Virginia win. Here's the pitch. It is inside, a ball and a strike. Acosta at the plate. Acosta on deck. Fogle on first base. Nobody out in the top of the seventh. 1-1. Fontes, a solo home run in the first. Got the scoring started, and then Acosta at the plate. Tyler with an RBI single his last time as it's popped way up to the left side. Wind an issue, but not for Tyler Bassetti. P6, one away. The runner will have to go back to first, and Abimael Gonzalez Acosta coming to the plate.
Yeah, it's Stellan knew it right away. He gave it a look, but waved Bassetti to come and take it himself. Right choice, and finally get that first out here for Chase Lorig.
Double play ball would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely here.
From Gonzalez Acosta, Abimael at the plate now. Runner on first, one out. First pitch way upstairs for a ball, 1-0.
Yeah, the action's been limited in the bullpens, but now we do see another arm warming up for the Blackbirds there, a lefty.
That's the only one down there is Ian McMahon. The runner started and stopped, and the pitch is a strike at the knees. McMahon, the only lefty here in the Bears bullpen. The only other lefty on the staff is Jeremy Cook, and he's a starting pitcher. So I'd assume that's number 9, Ian McMahon, unless somebody's switching it up on us. 1-1 one strike. Here's the pitch. It is in there at the letters. He gets the upper corner. Upper inside corner for strike two. 2-1. Yeah, that's Ian McMahon, number 9 down there, getting hot. Lord comes set. Looks in. Winds up, and the pitch is swung on and missed. They're going to throw down to first. Try to pick him off. He's back safely, but it's a strikeout. 2 away.
A very emphatic strikeout there. Abimael Gonzalez wanted all of that one. High pitch, but nothing but air on it. Arruz has been very attentive trying to pick off and throw it to first base and trying to get his teammates there napping, but only gets the one out there. 2 overall here.
So Dominic Bucco steps in. A fly out to left, a bounce out to second, and a line out to short. He hit that ball hard his last time up, but it was right at Tyler Bassetti. Lorick sets in the first pitch, is in there for a strike. So quickly, 0-1 on the Mahoning center fielder.
That command we're used to from Lorick is definitely showing its head now.
No balls and a strike to Bucco. Here's the pitch. It is low and away. Ball one, and Adam Fogle keeps straying farther and farther off of first. Of course, with the left-handed hitter, it's a little bit harder for Arruz to throw down to first so he can get a little more leeway. Of course, also 6'5 long strides as well. 1-1 a strike to Bucco. Comes set at the letters. Looks in. And the pitch in there on the inner black. I'm going to give Arruz the benefit of the doubt there. Bucco has a word with Jeff Peel behind the plate. 1-2.
Long talk there. Did not like it, but the location has been on point there ever since that he walked Vogel.
1-2, two strikes, two outs, runner on first. 1-1, top of the seventh. He throws over to first. He had him picked off, but he throws it away. So going to second base on the throwing error is Vogel. He had him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just spiked the throw.
Yeah, I was just going to say the throw was the ill part, the bad part of that. Lord tried to get out of it quickly without throwing another pitch, but he will have to have that payoff pitch here now with Fogle making his way to second.
1-2 strikes. Runner on second now. The 1-2 pitch is lifted to center field and deep. On a run is Hill, and he makes a fantastic running catch, reaching up over his head. Makes the hard look routine. We will head to the bottom of the seventh. It's stretch time here at Monongalia County Ballpark, 1-1 on the Black Bears Radio Network. Back here for the bottom of the seventh inning in this 1-1 game. Tightly contested, and Alan Carter stays in the game. He got the last out last inning after an error. It'll be Adon Fernandez, Javonte Doris, and Anthony Stellan, a combined 0-for-5 with a walk. Fernandez has bounced out to third twice against the starter, Figueroa, who pitched very well. As the first pitch here is just outside, ball one. Looks like there's a new arm up now. My guess is Cannon Butler. He's the usual eighth inning man, of course. I'm speculating. It's not McMahon anymore because it's a right-handed pitcher, as that one's down low. 2-0. See if I can get out the binoculars here. I believe it's number 57. It would only make sense.
Yeah, definitely in the tight contested ball game like this, you'd want your best guys up there.
Two balls, no strikes. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled out of the glove. 2-1. Probably swung at ball three there.
Just trying to get the bats a little bit more active as they have definitely gone silent for the Black Bears, much part due to Figueroa and now Carter, who has picked up the momentum.
Two balls and one strike. The pitch is hit high to left center field. Under it is Acosta. He'll make the grab, one away.
Sounded nice. Got the turn on it, but a little bit of a golf swing sort of motion there to fly it out there to the left side of the flying WV to record the first out.
Butler has since sat down now, so Lorg at the moment looks like he might be going out for a second inning. We'll see. Javonte Doris now. He walked and was caught stealing back in the second. He lined out to the first baseman in the fourth. Now getting his third licks here in the seventh. It's a low ball one. His pitcher's duel here tonight. Both starters are going to get a no decision. Miner went six good innings, allowing a run on five hits, striking out four, walking one. Figueroa went 5 2/3, allowing a run on three hits, walking one, and striking out eight. Carter delivers. It is in there for a strike. One ball and one strike on the West Virginia second baseman.
Yeah, looking at what follows after Doris, it's not had the same amount of success with Stellan Aruz and Bassetti, so definitely got to get something going here for those guys to have a chance.
The 1-1 pitch to Doris is swung on and missed. 1-2 now. Doris, of course, had the clutch hit on Wednesday night when the score was tied at, what is it, 2?
Yeah,
I believe.
If I remember correctly, yeah.
It was the bases loaded or second and third. He had slashed a 2-out, 2-RBI single. Bears would win that game 5-2 as that one's down low. Count evens, 2 balls and 2 strikes. Doris out of Raymond, Mississippi. 2 balls, 2 strikes. And, of course, Carter out of Suwanee, Georgia. Comes set at the letters. Kicks and delivers the 2-2 pitch. It's down low, so the count runs full 3-2.
Doris has done a very good job of being patient. He did earn himself a walk back in the second, and a walk would be very, very good here, especially after battling back from 0-2.
3 balls and 2 strikes to Doris. The pitch is popped to the right side. It's going to get out of play. We'll do the 3-2 again.
Good battle here. Just a battle is always good to get Carter off of his rhythm. Seemed to be automatic in the last inning, so this is definitely extra bit of work here against Doris.
Doris putting together quality at bat. All that's left is reaching base. This will be the 7th pitch of the AB. Here it comes, a 3-2, swung on and missed. He got him. Quickly 2 gone here for Anthony Stellan.
Went back low part of the strike zone there, but not a breaking ball by any means. Pumped the gas right by him, and Doris obviously behind it. 2 quick outs here for Carter.
Stellan, 0-for-2 with a strikeout looking and a strikeout swinging. At a Woodbridge, Virginia, and Concord University, standing at 6'2", 205. Here's the first pitch to him. It's in there for strike one. Must have caught the upper part of the zone for a strike.
Danger of the hat trick here, Stellan. Back-to-back strikeouts, his 2 previous at-bats.
The 0-1 pitch to Stellan is in there, strike 2. Someone else is now up in the West Virginia bullpen. High Sox, that might be Tyler Johnson. I believe that's Tyler Johnson who's up in the West Virginia bullpen. Looks like he's going to have the 8th. Here's the pitch. Stellan, a little, excuse me, roller to first. It's going to go foul. So, remains 0-2. And that doesn't surprise me that Johnson will have the 8th. If Jed Jerko's playing for a possible sudden death, his 7, 8, 9 guys are Johnson, Butler, Thurman. Just push him back.
Yeah, absolutely. You make a great point there.
I know.
Well, he has sat down, though, now, so.
He's probably just hot. 0-2 to Stellan. Carter's pitch, foul to the backstop. Stellan and stays alive.
He's gone to that fastball a lot, Carter, here in just these last few pitches, though. I would definitely advise him to maybe take one off and possibly sit Stellan down for the 3rd straight time on strikes.
Coming set is Carter. The 0-2. Stellan with a soft serve to left, but it hangs up for Tyler Acosta. So a line out to end the inning. We will head to the 8th, tied at 1 at Monongalia County Ballpark.
Thank you.
school is going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like in the second half, like first in average, first in home runs, like first in RBI. And he's going stupid. He homered again.
Back here at Monongalia County Ballpark for the top of the eighth, Tyler Johnson, the usual seventh inning man, enters. Jed Jerko pushing his bullpen back in inning, asks Chase Lord to pitch the seventh. He does so successfully. Johnson 0-1 with a 7-16, 18 games this year, 16 in the third innings. 15 runs, 13 of those earned, 12 hits. He's hit 5 and walked 16 to his 19 strikeouts. The wildness has been the issue. He's been better as of late. Has still shown flashes of being wild. Has cemented himself into the early back end of this bullpen and now pitching in the eighth. He features a mix of, well, really four pitches. A fastball, slider, curveball, and a changeup. The changeup doesn't really get thrown that much. Relies very heavily on the fastball. So we will see. He has a tall task ahead of him. As it'll be 2, 3, and 4 in the Mahoning order. It's Will Prater, Jeffrey Weller, and Gabe Gonzalez.
I mean, it's looking at it now. The production really come from sporadic parts of the lineup. Weller's had some success. Ponce had that double and a run back in the fifth. So this is definitely a good spot for Johnson to try and attack. And really, if he asserts his dominance against his top part of the lineup, I have I'm very confident he can do it against the rest to follow.
2, 3, and 4 combined 2 for 8 with a couple of singles, a couple of steals, and a walk. Prater singled and stole back in the first, bounced out to second in the fourth, bounced out to short in the fifth. Batting here in the eighth, leading off out of Dallas, Georgia and Western Carolina University. The first pitch is low and inside for a ball. 1-0. Feels like, of course, it's a very big inning. It just feels like whoever comes out of this inning victorious is going to win this baseball game tonight.
Yeah, it's only one kind of mistake kind of night now, especially coming down to this crunch time now.
1-0 is down low. 2-0. Definitely cannot be walking guys in a tight game like this with a history of control issues. 2-0 the pitch. Down low for a third straight ball. 3-1. Got to find it here if you're Johnson. 1-1 your score here in the top of the eighth inning. Mahoning out hitting West Virginia 5-3 as that one is down low. It's a four-pitch walk. Wasn't really close with any of them.
Yeah, and now thinking about the decision to bring Tyler Johnson, he didn't start really warming up that early. He only started warming up when the Black Bears came to bat. So especially you mentioned the control issue. I would have liked to have seen him a bit warm up a little bit more.
I believe when I said it was Cannon Butler, it was actually Johnson, though.
Okay.
So, probably a normal warm-up. We'll see, though. And that brings in Jeffrey Weller. A ground ball would be nice right now for the Black Bears. Out of St. Mary's, Pennsylvania. He played at Youngstown State for a number of years before transferring to Pitt for his final year of eligibility. A fifth pitch is a fifth straight ball, 1-0. No activity in either pen right now in terms of throwing off of a mound. Got some guys stirring in the Black Bears pen, throwing balls off the wall. As that pitch is hit high and deep to right center field, that ball is off the wall and bounces over the wall. So the Black Bears catch a break. So it'll be second and third and nobody out.
That one was absolutely laced out there. Turner Hill's very fast, but he would had no chance of that one as it hit right on the warning track off the first bounce and over the wall.
So quite the situation here that Tyler Johnson has found himself in. Second and third, nobody out. He's got to deal with 4, 5, and 6. He's thrown 6 pitches, 5 balls, and that one was a rocket to the warning track. And like I said, they caught a break that ball bounced over the wall. Gonzalez has struck out looking twice and flied out. The Black Bears bring the infield in. A sharp ground ball will score probably 2 as the outfield is playing fairly deep. especially Fernandez out in left. The first pitch is nowhere close. A slider that runs outside, 1-0. Alex Crump on deck, then Oscar Ponce. Johnson in a high-pressure situation. Looks in, gets his sign from the catcher, Aruz. Here's the pitch. It is outside for ball two.
Just seems really undecided on what kind of pitch to throw here after, especially giving up that loud double.
Two balls, no strikes to the man from Mission Hills, California, Gabe Gonzalez, out of Cal State Northridge, or CSUN for short. The 2-0 pitch is laced through the left side of the infield, a base hit. This is going to get one home. They will hold Weller at third, and it's an RBI single. The Scrappers lead.
Yeah, and again, the location wasn't the best there. Gonzalez got his hands around it and just absolutely sent it through to the gather between Stellan and Bassetti. And the Blackbirds find themselves in a bit of trouble here, especially with no outs.
Scrapper's definitely in shape to add more. Is Johnson still in a sticky situation? First and third and nobody out. One in the inning. Mahoning now leads it 2-1. The Murray State product, Alex Crump stepping in. Here's the pitch. It is well outside and a good stop by Aruz to keep this game at 2-1. He's yet to throw a strike that was not hit. Eight of his 10 pitches has been balls. The two strikes he's thrown have been hit hard as that one's outside, 2-0.
Just pulled it each time he's trying to go outside. Hasn't really even gotten a reaction from any of the Scrappers hitters that be even tempted by them.
McMahon is up again, but he's taking a sweet old time, not even on the mound, not even throwing with a catcher. So this is Johnson's hill to die on, as that one is fouled to the right side. So the first strike officially here of the night. 2-1, and we talk about limiting the damage all the time. This is definitely one of those situations where you'd be very fortunate to get out of this at 2-1.
Oh, yeah, completely. And we mentioned it. The Blackbirds won't give you a lot of these chances to take the lead and, like, keep it. So this is definitely a good chance for the Scrappers to pile on some insurances.
The 2-1 is rocketed to the left center field gap. This will score one easily. It's going to go to the wall. Gonzalez isn't stopping. He's going to score standing up. Crump is on his way to third. The throw is going to be late. It's a 2-RBI triple. The Scrappers lead it 4-1.
Resounding triple there off the bat of Crump there. No doubter. And really, Fernandez or even Hill had any chance of it perfectly hit between both of them into the gap. And the Scrappers have definitely asserted their dominance here and taken advantage of Tyler Johnson with no outs yet recorded.
So it'll now bring up Ponce. The infield's going to come in again. Johnson toes the rubber. The first pitch hits Ponce, so he'll take first base. You got to come get him. You got to. Nobody's up.
Yeah, like you said it perfectly before. This is all we manage to circle. We'll have a talk with him. Definitely no switch, but this is definitely his hill to die on. He said it perfectly.
Not good, that is for sure. He has absolutely no control right now.
Just trying to calm him down for sure. You can't do anything about the three runs given up now at this point. You just got to get the next three. And that's, I'm sure, what manager Jed Jerko is telling him out there to forget about what has happened so far in this inning.
11 of 14 pitches have been balls from Johnson. I guess at this point the Black Bears will trade two outs for the run as the lengthy 6'5 Adam Fogle steps in. He is 0 for 2 with a walk. Grounded out to short, a ground out to first, and a walk, as I mentioned before. The Black Bears never say die, though, so I'm still expecting some sort of pushback. It's just, you got to make it manageable. The man out of the University of Kentucky, Adam Fogel. The first pitch to him is outside a ball.
A lot of over-reliance on that fastball. Hasn't really worked at all, especially going outside with it. Every pitch has seemed virtually the same there and getting no reaction from the scrappers.
1-0. Johnson delivers. Swung on and missed. Look at that, a strike.
Still a dangerous location, though. Luckily, Fogel was a bit late on that one, but at least brings the count to 1-1 here.
1-1. Johnson now looking in, getting his sign. The pitch over the head of the 6'5 designated hitter for a ball, 2-1.
First real breaking ball we've seen, and nearly had back-to-back hit by pitches there, but way a little bit over the head of Fogel. Not easy to do standing at 6'5".
Here's the pitch. It is low and away. Ball three is a pitch away from loading the bases. There's still nobody out. Mahoning has scored three times here in the top of the eighth. They have first and third. Nobody out. 4-1, Scrappers. Sets at the belt. Here it comes. Outside ball four. He walked him. The bases are loaded. See if Jed Jerko is going to come out of the dugout or not. Ian McMahon is down there. Looks about ready.
Looks like he'll have the opportunity to face Tyler Acosta.
This will be the seventh batter of the inning yet to record an out as Tyler Johnson. Infield in once again. They'll go home with it if they can. Johnson sets the pitch. Is in there for a first pitch strike at 90 miles per hour. 0-1 on Acosta.
Definitely no room for error now. Before, there wasn't any at 1-1, but now, especially with no outs, you got to be pretty much almost perfect if you're Tyler Johnson to get out of here 4-1.
Up high for a ball, 1-1.
Costa popped out just in the previous inning in the seventh. Probably didn't expect to be up here, but the circumstances are what they are.
The 1-1 is lifted to right. Fontes is under it. He makes the catch. Tagging from third is Crump. He will score. 5-1 Mahoning.
That's all you could ask for from Acosta. He's going to send it out there. Deep enough for Fontes to not make a play at home with it. And again, the lead increases to 5-1.
Jijerko's seen enough. Ian McMahon will be coming on. Tyler Johnson struggles mightily here in the eighth. He gives up four runs. The Scrappers lead it 5-1. Ian McMahon coming in. 1-0 with a 3.86, 10 games, 9.1 innings pitched. He's allowed four runs, one home run. He's hit four, walked four, struck out five, and a whip of 150. McMahon offers a fastball, slider, curveball, changeup mix. 69% fastball, 20% slider, the curve and change at 6 and 5%. He gets a ground ball at 34% of the time. A ground ball will likely get West Virginia out of the inning. They're down four now, though. Is this insurmountable?
I wouldn't say insurmountable just because we know how good this Black Bears team is, but this is uncharted territory. It's really going to the pen and having it really fail like that. It's something this Black Bears team isn't used to. There is still time to do something. A lot of these games don't go into the bottom of the ninth, but pretty sure this one will. So they'll have their chances, but no room for errors up from now on.
So McMahon came in the other day in a high-pressure situation, was able to get two outs. I would still call it a high-pressure situation, but still, it's a four-run deficit. I was just looking to limit the damage at this point, which it's already been done substantially.
It's always not the best as both sets of infielders and outfielders get together and discuss as well as before McMahon finishes up his warm-up. This is not only like a bad chance or a bad spot to be in for the Blighters, but a good opportunity for the Scrappers, who, as we mentioned, have not had a lot of bright spots this season. This will definitely be one knocking off the top-seeded Blighters, who seem virtually unstoppable up till this point.
So McMahon will face Abimael Gonzalez Acosta and Dominic Bucco if it gets there. That'll be the eighth hitter coming up of this inning. One away, the Scrappers have scored four.
Abimael Gonzalez coming off the strikeout just again in that previous inning. Singled back in the fifth and flew out back in the third. So this is one of the better opportunities he'll get to increase that average.
So McMahon in. Gonzalez at the plate. Here's the first pitch. It's up high. Ball one. Twenty-two pitches is the final number for Tyler Johnson. He goes a third of an inning. He gave up three hits, two walks, hit a batter. As this pitch is hit hard to right center field. Going to be a long run for Hill. He's not going to get it, and it hops over the wall. A ground rule double. So that'll score one charge to Johnson. He's also responsible for the runner on third. It's 6-1 Mahoning.
And the Scrappers are really, really taking advantage of these relievers now. McMahon leaves that one over the plate, and in almost the same thing that Willard did happens here again. One bounces over the wall, and Scrappers now lead 6-1.
An offensive explosion for Mahoning here in the top of the eighth. Dominic Bucco, the ninth batter to hit. I mean, the Scrappers have now batted around here in this inning. One out, second and third. The infield coming in once again, the third time this inning. McMahon looks in, steps off. He wants to go over the signage again. As that one's hit high in the air, Hill is going to definitely get to this one. Both runners tagging. Both runners going. The throw will go to third. It's a good one, but retreating is the runner at second. It's a sack fly in 7-1 now.
Again, anything hit out there was always going to score the run. Hill played it perfectly, records the second out, but Fogel easily cruises home. And it's 7-1 now here. Absolutely going off now are the Scrappers on the Black Bears relievers.
So sacrifice fly. It's a six spot thus far. This will be the 10th batter of the inning. That closes the book on Johnson. He gives up six runs in a third of an inning. A miserable outing for the right-hander. Here's the first pitch. It's in there to the left-handed hitting Prater for a strike. Mahoning leading 7-1 after scoring six here in the top of the eighth. McMahon coming set at the letters and delivers. It is outside, 1-1. Prater got the inning started with a four-pitch walk. He would come around to score on the RBI single by Gabe Gonzalez. He's one of six Scrappers to cross the plate this inning. One of seven Scrappers to reach base as that one's high, 2-1. The two outs Mahoning has made are both sacrifice flies, so there has not been a wasted at-bat in this inning.
Efficient is the word to describe it now, as McMahon can't afford to walk him here. We already had the bases loaded before.
2-1 is outside. Three balls and a strike. Runner on second, two outs. Around the draft league, Frederick and Trenton played a topsy-turvy game tonight. The Keys came out on top. 8-7 winners. Williamsport is winning 8-4 in the bottom of the eighth over State College. If that result holds, then as the 3-1 pitches outside ball four, if that result holds, then State College will remain one back of West Virginia, and Williamsport will be two back of West Virginia and one back of State College. So two walks in the inning for Prater brings up Jeffrey Weller. Of course, the Keys with the win tonight improved to 13-12. If this result holds, they will be four back of West Virginia and three back of State College, so they're not out of it just yet. McMahon delivers, fouled off at the plate, so 0-1. Weller had the RBI double and a run. He scored on the triple by Crump earlier this inning. The 11th batter to hit out of St. Mary's, Pennsylvania, and Pittsburgh, the University of Pittsburgh, I should say. Spent time at Youngstown State as well. McMahon sets, looks in, checks the runners, and delivers inside to the backstop. The runners will advance on the wild pitch.
Went inside last time, an ugly swing by Weller. That should have been ball two. Weller gave him the first strike, but just advancing the runners now. Still two outs, but this is as close as you can get to not making another mistake before this one really falls off the wheels.
McMahon comes set at the letters. 1-1. The pitch is down low. Another good block by Aruz. Two balls and a strike now to the 11th batter of the inning. Mahoning's put up six this inning. Almost out of nowhere. The pitcher's dole was blown up as the 2-1 pitch is in there on the outer half. So two balls and two strikes, very close to mercifully putting an end to this inning.
This is much needed here for McMahon, especially just to give him that bit of confidence there to put him away, finally put out this big fire.
2-2 outside. We'll run full 3-2. The last thing you want to do is keep on walking, guys. That is for sure. Someone is loosening out there for Mahoning. As the 3-2 pitch is roped to right, a base hit. This one, if it wasn't over already, is now. It's 9-1, Scrappers.
Yeah, that one just about took the wind out of the crowd here, or what was left of it. Weller does a good job of getting those hands in there and slicing it away from Doris to even give him a chance to make a play on it. 9-1 now, a complete switch of what we had last night, still two outs.
It was a pitcher's dole through seven, an eight spot put up by Mahoning. I believe it's number 46, Anthony Boy, up for Mahoning, as that one is swung on and missed by Gonzalez. He had the RBI single to get the scoring started here in the inning. He also scored on the two-run triple by Crump, the catcher. Gonzalez, before that, had a couple of strikeouts looking and a fly out to center. The 0-1 is fouled off. 0-2. We got a chance to get out of this inning again.
You said it once, we'll say it again. McMahon and these leaders are in much need of putting this to rest. And it all started back with the Weller double to really get this going.
Pitch fouled off once again.
A lot of balls being left up in the zone, but a big result of that is because those scrubs are just not biting on the ones in the dirt or down low. So tricky situation here for McMahon, but working good with 0-2 count.
Here is the 0-2. They'll appeal, and he did not go. Are you serious right now? It is 9-1, Mark Mail. He is not even paying attention down there. This is the third time that has happened tonight. That is ridiculous. Jed is very angry. He is out yelling. The catcher, Aruz, is yelling. The umpires are getting together now. That is absurd. You're an umpire. Pay attention to the game.
What's the...
And they're going to say it was a foul tip.
All right.
And He went anyway, clear as day. So we are out of this inning. Finally, the Scrappers put up 8, and it's 9-1 here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Back here for the bottom of the eighth, the Scrappers just put up an eighth spot out of literally nowhere. Tyler Johnson and Ian McMahon struggle. So they'll look for Alan Carter to keep eating innings. You assume he's going to try and finish this one out. It'll be Aruz, Bassetti, and Hill. Just need base runners, keep the line moving. If Mahoney can have an 8-run inning, that means we can have, what, a 16-run inning?
You'd like to think that, yeah, but the biggest thing is you can't all get them back in one inning. I mean, I guess the Scrappers would say otherwise, but it's got to go bit by bit. Can't rush it.
That one is fouled off for a strike. 0-1 on a ruse. Carter looks in, the 0-1 pitch, and that is somehow a strike, not really sure how, that was well outside. So 0-2 now on the catcher.
Peel makes it 0-2 now, and Aruz now just has to protect here.
Carter's 0-2 to Aruz is sawed off, foul. So we'll keep it at 0-2.
In danger of recording that ill-advised hat trick of strikeout in the third and the fifth. Finds himself 0-2 now.
The 0-2 pitch up high dusts him off the plate, 1-2.
On that topic, not much production from the bottom third of this lineup.
The 1-2 pitch swung on and missed. He struck him out. Not much production from the Black Bears at all. They have mustered all of 3 hits tonight. Ruben Fontes has 2 of them, including a solo home run and a single. Javonte Doris has a walk. Ryan Hernandez reached on an error. And where is the other hit? I cannot find it for some reason.
Seems to be Bassetti.
Oh, yes, Bassetti in the third has a single. So he's up now. He singled and struck out tonight. Of course he's up now. I can't find it. I'm looking right at it. Ball one. The Scrappers put up 8 on 5 hits. Bunch of walks, bunch of sacrifice flies in the eighth. It's 9-1 Scrappers here on Saturday night. Fireworks following tonight's game as well. So the crowd has stuck around through this. It was a pitcher's duel as that one's in there for a strike until last inning.
Yeah, that's definitely in the can now, but Carter still continuing his dominance here. It's just automatic.
1-1, the pitch up high, 2 balls and a strike. Bassetti playing short tonight after getting last night off. There's an arm up for West Virginia. It's a right-hander, of course, because that's all that's left. The pitch is fouled off to the right side. Two balls and two strikes.
A lot of fastball uses here for Carter, and if it's not broke, why fix it? This Black Bears lineup has not had any success putting it in play against that fastball, so we'll do it again here at 2-2.
Not sure who's throwing down there right now. As the 2-2 pitch is up high, 3-2 here to Bassetti. Is that a single-digit number? The only single-digit is McMahon. Oh my goodness, I think that's Anthony Stellan. As that one is looped to right, Acosta coming on will make the grab. I think Anthony Stellan is warming up in the bullpen.
That has to be then, yeah. If it's
he's throwing hard.
Yeah, if it is single-digit, it has to be him.
Well, this is exciting.
Well, we've got a little bit of some unexpected news here, possibly, if he does actually get in the game. But that was the second out recorded on the fly out there to Acosta.
So that brings up Turner Hill. He's rarely hitless tonight as that one drops in for a strike. Man, that would be something if we get Tyler Bassetti on the hill. Game well out of reach at this point. That one is hit hard to second, but scooped up by Prater. And he throws on to first, so we will head to the ninth. And I believe Anthony Stellan's coming in. We'll confirm that for you when we get back. 9-1 Mahoning on the Black Bear Radio Network. You heard that right. Infielder Anthony Stellan is into the ballgame to pitch here in at 9-1. He's got some juice on that pitch right here.
Yeah, I see him throwing a couple now. He is putting everything into it, so we got some eventful things happening here in the ninth. Who said a 9-1 game can't be exciting?
I'd like to thank Jed Jerko for making this fun. As Stellan, 6'2", 205 out of Woodbridge, Virginia, Concord University. No pitching numbers to speak of.
Oh, it's the first time for everything.
Can tell you he's 0-3 at the plate. So Spears is in the game. He'll play third. Not really sure who he's in for as of yet. We'll let you know when we know. I believe he's I'm going to assume he's entered for Hernandez as the DH. We'll see. He'll get an at-bat next inning if that's the case. The first pitch here, it's a slider at 80 miles an hour. He looks like he knows what he's doing. There is a strike. A beautiful pitch right there to Crump. He had the two RBI triple his last time, as that one at 88 has popped up and out of play. So strike two. He's pumping 88 and 80 with movement. Are we sure he hasn't pitched before? I mean, like, I'm serious. Like, has he thrown innings before?
Not to my knowledge, no. But, hey, a 9-1, you have room to experiment. And you might have found something here with Anthony Stellan. You never know. You never know.
I know Dietrich in the first half was a two-way player. He had one appearance at Mahoning. As the 0-2 pitches, fouled off to the screen.
Just about foul, too. That was almost first batter up in his career that we know of, and it would have been a strikeout.
Definitely here in the draft league. He looks like he knows what he's doing out there. He shakes off the catcher twice, and now he's going to step off. 0-2 here on Alex Crump. The pitch. Swung on and missed. A beautiful slider for the out.
What are you thinking if you're Crump out there? Swinging on that one. I mean, to be fair, that was a very well-executed slider. So, Stellan, first batter up, first strikeout here.
I'm thinking that this guy looks like a real pitcher out there.
Definitely is showing it.
Working quickly, the first pitch is a broken bat roller up the middle. Bassetti at short, a 6-3. Two quick outs for Anthony Stellan on the mound.
Jed Jerkle found another late-game reliever in Stellan. Two quick outs and, like, six pitches.
So that'll bring up Adam Fogel. 2 outs here. Fogel walked and scored last inning. The first pitch here is in there for a strike. That slider is nasty, Manny.
That slider's been the gem, really, here for Stellan. Virtually unhittable here so far for the...
He has been unhittable, as that one is just missing at 81.
Just
one
about.
Ball and one strike.
Just about outside there.
One ball, one strike. Stellan winds up, and the pitch... He's loving that. It's 88, just missing. 2-1 to Fogel.
Work doing his work on the outer part of the strike zone thus far.
2-1, and there's a hard hit single through the left side. So the third time reaching base and the first hit for Adam Fogel tonight. Two-out base runner for Tyler Acosta.
Of course, when I said that, Stellan goes inside and gives up a hit. So this inning will go a little bit longer than Stellan seemed to appear to be throwing.
Wind up in the pitch. It's swung on and missed. Some life. 89.
Yeah,
that's harder than
gas.
Some pitcher's throw here.
There's some gas behind. There's some power in that arm by Stellan for sure.
That one is chopped. It's going to be a tough play. Bassetti on the bare hand can't come up with it. It'll be an infield single.
That would have been very, very impressive by Bassetti. But, again, just dropped it there on the bare hand. Extremely tough to do. But still, this inning will continue here. Runners on first and second.
So now the other Acosta, Abimael Gonzalez Acosta, stands in out of Puerto Rico. As was our starting pitcher today. Not the same place in Puerto Rico, though. Different towns. Big place, after all. As Stellan's going to have to work out of a jam. First and second, two outs. The first pitch is swung on and missed. That slider's nasty.
That slider is working absolute wonders, and the kryptonite so far for the Scrappers here in the ninth.
Oh, 0-1 here. This will be the 36th hitter of the night for the Scrappers. Here's the 0-1. It's chopped to short. Bassetti has it. He'll go the short way. Anthony Stellan, everybody.
Take a bow. Take a lap.
A clean inning for the position player on the mound. He looked very good. Looked sharp. The Bears need 8 to tie, 9 to win when we come back on the Black Bear Radio Network. Bottom of the ninth here at the Mon. Mahoning Valley leading 9-1. The new pitcher is Trey Jernigan out of App State, Greenville, North Carolina. He's 0-0 with a 5.40 ERA in five innings, three appearances. 11 hits, three earned runs, six total runs allowed. Walked one, struck out five, a 2.40 ERA. It'll be Ruben Fontes, the newly entered Tremaine Spears, who takes the place of Hernandez and was playing third. And then Logan Mathieu, the Bears need 8.
Yeah, I mean, just an odd night really all around. You could just look at the box score. When's the last time Hernandez had two strikeouts and just an error and reached on an error? Turner Hill hasn't even gotten on base. A lot of weird things going on here for the Black Bears, but it shows in the result, and that's what happens. You do have off nights sometimes, especially in baseball.
Can't win every game, that's for sure. At 18-8 and 41-23, and you take out the 1-11 or 2-11 start. That's 39-12. That's absurd. So the first pitch here is in there for a strike to Fontes. He's been the lone bright spot for West Virginia offensively tonight, as the Black Bears have only mustered 3 hits. He had a solo home run back in the first inning and a single in the third. He struck out swinging in the sixth. As the 0-1 is swung on and missed from Jernigan.
Just the complete opposite from both bullpens tonight. The Scrappers have all been automatic. Alan Carter, followed now by Trey Jernigan, have come in and really put these Black Bears to bed.
0-2, Jernigan delivers, swung on and missed, strike three. He goes down fairly easily. Alan Carter goes 2 1/3 hitless innings. Actually, 2 1/3 perfect innings, if you take out the error. So not perfect, but he retired 7 in a row there, did his job, and he should have got 8.
Yeah.
So strikes out 3. It was a very impressive performance. His numbers back that up as well. So Tremaine Spears comes in. One out here in the ninth. Mahoning leading 9-1. They had an 8-run eighth. Just absolutely exploding off of Tyler Johnson and Ian McMahon. Tremaine Spears into the game. First pitch swinging out to center field, and the catch is made. The Bears are down to their final out. It'll be all up to Logan Mathieu.
Yeah, first pitch swinging there in way too far inside to really get down, especially when you hit it to the opposite side of the field. Buckle made it. Routine play out there, and again, like you said, down to their last hope here in the Logan Mathieu.
So Mathieu standing in tonight. He is 0-3, as many Black Bears are. He bounced up to second, flew out to right, and struck out swinging thus far. The last hope for West Virginia here. And that one is ripped. Foul. Watch out down there. I believe that is Mike.
Yep. That was as close as it'll get to hitting Mike. Oh, no.
Oh, no, that was the athletic trainer.
Yep.
I don't know where Mike is. He's around here somewhere.
Yeah, he's always exploring here, both dugouts, taking some pictures here of the games.
Sick flicks. Fireworks following this one here. Most of the crowd has stuck around. 0-1 on Mathieu out of Liberty in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. This one is chopped to second base. This should do it. Prater up with it. He'll throw to first, and the Scrappers take the middle game of this series by a final score of 9-1. I'm Michael Seitz with Manny Maradiegue. We're going to wrap this one up for you briefly as the Scrappers and Black Bears played a baseball game tonight, if you didn't know. The scoring started when Ruben Fontes hit a solo home run back in the first inning. It was a great pitcher's duel as Patrick Miner went 6, allowing one earned run off of 5 hits, struck out 4, walked 1. That one earned run came on a Tyler Acosta RBI single. Then it was Jan Figueroa, 5 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts was very good. Alan Carter, 2 1/3, near perfect innings was very good as well. The wheels fell off for West Virginia in the 8th when Mahoning scored 8. I'm not going to go through them all, but the Scrappers scored 8. Tyler Johnson struggled to find the zone. He ended up getting tagged with 6. Ian McMahon came in. He was tagged with 2, allowed a couple inherited to score as well. Anthony Stellan, the position player, made an appearance, looked very good. A scoreless inning. And then Trey Jurgen with the 1-2-3 ninth to end this one. State College has fallen to Williamsport 8-4. So the Black Bears still in first place here in the second half. Manny, your final thoughts on today's game?
I mean, you're going to have games like this throughout the course of a season. You can't really think or put too much into it. 9-1, yeah, it looks ugly. 12-3 on the hit column does obviously tell a story of how well the Scrappers pitching staff did tonight. But, again, you're going to have off nights from your heavy hitters. It is very rare to see the top four guys produce at such a high level. Howen wasn't in the lineup tonight. A bunch of heavy hitters weren't. So, yeah, you'd expect a dull offensive night from the Blackbirds. It was coming. They were on a roll there for a while, so you were going to get these games. But credit to the Scrappers. They did play a very well-pitched game, and their offense came alive when it did and really took advantage of the chances that the Blackbirds were giving them. So a good win for the Scrappers here, and back again tomorrow for the Blackbirds.
Absolutely. We'll be back again tomorrow. 4:05 start, I believe.
4, if I'm not mistaken.
4, yeah.
4:05, yeah.
So you're going to have that by yourself as I'm done, unfortunately. It has been an absolute joy and pleasure here in Morgantown. This is really the last thing I had to do in this field to get experience with. I'm very grateful for the opportunity from GM Leanne Sonato taking a chance on me here in this booth and really figuring out what I want to do, because I think this is it. So thank everybody in the control room as well, giving us the replay feeds, running the scoreboard and the audio and the graphics and everything. It's not an easy job, that is for sure. And, of course, my broadcast partners, both Manny Maradiegue here and Drew Von Sayo, who departed last weekend. It's been an absolute pleasure. I couldn't have done it without anybody. Of course, all the promo interns as well, and Trevor and Craig. Cannot thank everybody enough for the opportunity. So I'm off. Manny will have the rest of the way, and I'll definitely be listening and rooting for the Black Bears the rest of the year and forever, really. So for the final time here, the final score was Mahoning 9, West Virginia 1. For the entire control room, public address announcer Bill Nevin, GM Leanne Sonato, my broadcast partner Manny Maradiegue, my name is Michael Seitz. Thank you for listening tonight. We'll be back at it tomorrow looking to win the series. And forever, go Bears!